apple pie moonshine. You just get PGA and turn it into that.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight out there, it's the Lulu Soul Smoking Radio Show, the number one barbecue radio show on Barbecue Superstars Blog Talk Radio. We was the number one show last week. We was the number fourth rank out of 210 shows last week on the Food Network and Blog Talk Radio. I'm glad everybody caught that show, pushed us up in the standings, which we've not been too shy of being in the first seat on the Food Network or taking over the top rated show on Barbecue Superstars. So hopefully we'll stay there again this week, hanging out with you, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, we was playing Copperhead Road right there. I know we're competing with the Moonshine guys tonight. It's Wednesday night. They're going to be firing up the steels on the TV. I'll record it, and I'll get to watch it a little bit later. I'm CA, and my co-host is Fraz. How we doing tonight, Fraz?
Woo! What's up, man? What's up? It's 12-12-12. Last time we did
it. Yeah, 12-12-12. I was at the, I was selling food today. I was running my mobile catering business, 12-12-12. At 12-12 on the dot, somebody wrote me a $12 check, so I posted that up. And then come to find out, Randy Hill started counting all the, everything I wrote. It had 12 words in it. And then when I commented back, it was the 12th comment. So you just tell me how weird that is. So we're going to see what happens tonight. And see if we can get some of that 12-12-12 action going on the ratings and see if we can hold the number one spot from last week. I see we got a couple callers, a couple people in the chat room tonight. We got Cousin Ed, we got a guest, and we got Walking the Coast. How you guys out there doing tonight? We actually got a sister station that picked up the Lulu Soul Smoking Radio Show. So if you're listening tonight, call 347-202-0263. That's right. Lulu's is live on the air on two different networks right now. We're running it through. We got picked up by the other network. So, hey, we're doing something right. Everybody's enjoying the show. I'm glad everybody's enjoying the show. I enjoy doing the show. I know Fraz enjoys doing the show. And we love bringing on great guests for y'all. We're going to have some great guests tonight. We're going to have Jeff Yoke up tonight with Pro Barbecue Book. Are you ready for that? The professional book, he's got videos, he's got all kinds of stuff. He's going to tell us about the book, how you can get it. It's not your typical book. It's not, when I say book, it's not your Meyer Mason book. It's not your Chris Lilly book. It's not all those books, you know, that kind. This is actually informational to where it gives you step by step. It's broke down on everything you need to know coming into the barbecue world. If you want to be a competitor, it tells you how much you're going to spend. It tells you what you need. I mean, he's even got it broke down into templates to everything you're going to need and what times, and he'll even tell you how to cook it. But we'll bring him on a little bit later this evening. That's Jeff. We'll also have Neil Big Mr. Strada. He's going to be calling in a little bit later. He was on Pitmasters a couple series ago. He had an interesting question come up on Facebook. So I contacted him. I want to talk to him. And the question was, when did barbecue become sweet? And I said, hey, you want to come on the show and talk about that? Let's talk about that. And he's going to be on. He does kind of a blog talk video scenario to where he videotapes himself and he puts questions up, scenarios up, and people can talk about it. And so he's going to be on a little bit later tonight. Well, how you been doing, Fraz?
Dude, man, I've been doing good. I'm just sitting around taking it easy, waiting for the end of the year to be over with, get into 2013, get back into the barbecue comps, get ready to see all my friends, get out there and enjoy hearing, just letting the smoke roll and smelling the smoke. And like we like to say, choking in the smoke. But, hoping this weather forecast is right, really, man. I hope we get a little snow next week. I'm going to do a little sledding and stuff. You know, I like playing in the snow.
I ain't got to really play in the snow a whole lot. We've been cooking it up. You know, the cookers have been taking a beating, I guess you can say, from us. We've been riding them very hard here lately, and it's been getting kind of overworked. But, you know, they're going to get worked even harder. But the cold weather, I could tell last night, the weather really dropped off. I had to push the temperature up on the butts to get them done. When I got there this morning, got outside, you know, they was right there where they need to be. So I know it got very, very cold last night, and it's going to get even colder here in the next couple of days.
Oh, yeah. A few thunderstorms moving in next week, so better hope that Traeger pellet grill don't have the humidity going on in there and breaking pellets down in the dust.
Oh, no, we ain't got to worry about that. Only when you get them wet is the problem. When you wash them dudes, if you don't cover them up, oh, you got a mess, a rock hard mess down the bottom of the Argus system, and it just does not work. But, you know, they're insulated, so they work very well. I see Cousin Ed. He said he's got a few tons of butts to cook this weekend. Cousin Ed, if you're listening, you want to call in to the show. We'll have Jeff Yoke up on. He'll be with us. He'll be telling us about the Comp Barbecue and the Pro Barbecue book. Anybody out there is wanting to get on to the show tonight, call 347-202-0263, and you can join the show with us. We'll have Neil Big Mr. Strato on. I keep screwing up his name. Big Mr. Barbecue is his contest name, and he's Neil Big Mr. Strato. So I'm wanting to say it all at one time. But have you ever met him, Troy?
We got to get Cousin Ed on here. We got to talk about his tons of butts he's going to fix this weekend. Got to know who all he's trying to feed and what he's trying to do there. Come on, Cousin Ed.
I see Chris Huffman done come in. We got about 10 people in the chat room right now. So if y'all are listening, come on board. Let's just get it on already. Anything else interesting going on? Any contests you know going on, Fraz?
Not that I know of, not around here. I mean, it's kind of, I think Calhoun and Demopolis kind of shut the season down last weekend. As far as I know, well, the week before, not last weekend. Don't know of any going on around here anywhere within a couple hundred mile radius. So, you know, it looks like things are shut down for the year. And it's kind of like this time of year, you know, you get everybody go, well, I'll just get back to you next year. I'll just get back to you next year. You know, you ain't got but, what is it, 19 more days left in this year. So, you know, looking forward to January. Can't wait January to get here, ready to get it back out on the trail and, like I say, get back doing some comps and try to improve on our end of year rankings from last year, and hopefully get to do a few more comps than we did last year.
We got about six callers on the line. I know we got a couple. I know who they are. We'll hold off on them. Maybe this is Cousin Ed. You want to see if it's Cousin Ed? Let's see who this is right here for a minute. Let's see, 731-609-2590.
Yeah, that's me, guys. That's Cousin Ed. How y'all doing tonight?
There you go, Fraz. Cousin Ed's on the line.
How's it going, Cousin Ed?
Oh, man, it's going good. We're getting ready to go over to Little Rock this weekend. We got a cook at BB High School and also Jacksonville. We're going to be cooking somewhere between 650 and 700 Boston butts for those two groups.
That's a lot of butts and booty.
That sounds like a job, one man.
Nah, it ain't too bad. There's just a couple of us. We're gonna go over there. We're gonna load up one school, one at about between 2:30 and 3:00, and then we'll run over to the other school and load the other grills.
What kind of smokers are you cooking them all on?
What kind of smokers? We got some. We got old hickories. This Hogzilla is my grill, as some folks might know. I think I put about 490 butts on him back around Thanksgiving. Yeah, we cooked.
That's a lot.
We cooked about 2,549 butts, turkeys, and hams there at Thanksgiving. excuse me.
Well, if you wasn't busy, I'd take you with me this weekend.
Well, you know, this is our Christmas. We're getting into our Christmas fundraising time. We got starting with Tim, my partner. He's cooking all next week. He's already started cooking tonight. I think he starts on Wednesday night this week, and he'll cook all the way through Saturday. Right now, I'm just doing the Friday night, and then I've got next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we're in Huntsville Sunday night cooking for a school over in Huntsville, Alabama. We got, I think, about 300 hams and I think 200 and something turkeys for them Christmas Eve. So.
You said Huntsville, Alabama. Where are you going to be at down there? Right there is right across.
We're cooking at the Lowe's. We did about 500 butts for them. It's Goldman Sheffield, I believe, is the name of the school. It's an elementary school over around Huntsville, and we're cooking at the Lowe's. I can't exactly tell you how to get there. I know we went over to Big Hill, come down the other side of it, and dropped off in there. And there's a Lowe's right there. They let us set up over there, right in front of the Lowe's.
Is it on North Parkway, or is it out in Madison, or is it over in Hampton Cove area?
I think it's over in the Hampton Cove area. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, got a Hardee's up there next door to it. It's a new store. I haven't been there for about a year or two.
Yeah. I think there's like a Mexican restaurant right out there at the main road. Yep. It's kind of right over by an intersection.
Yep, about major intersection right there. Go, like I say, you said you go across the Big Hill. It goes across the Montesano Mountain there.
Yeah, that's it.
So
that's
where
we'll probably be at again this time.
That ain't but about 20 miles from my house there. Actually, I was out in Hampton Cove area last Sunday out there at the golf course, the golf tournament. So.
Oh, really? Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be pulling in over there probably Sunday evening sometime, and we'll just load up the turkeys and hams, load up the turkeys mainly, and cook them all night, and then we'll pull them off and put the hams on in the morning and get them finished up, and then we'll probably head back home on Christmas Eve. So that's just the way it goes. Super Bowl weekend's really lining out to be. It's going to be, we're looking at about 2,000 roughly right now on Super Bowl weekend. So fundraising is down a little bit from some of these folks' numbers, but we're really out there trying to help folks build up their budgets for their schools and programs and ministries, whatever. We cook for a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
Well, hey, friends, let me ask you this. What are you doing Friday evening and Saturday?
What, this week or when?
I'm not 100% sure on Friday evening. I got to check with other half, but Saturday hadn't really got anything going on. Saturday, we got our Christmas parade going on here in our hometown.
You go help me cook for 20,000 people in St. Louis?
Wish I could make it.
I'd let you come if you want to.
How you
20,000 people. I can't cook it all. I done told him, I said, I can't cook it all. I'm just coming in as a backer.
I heard that. You have more than that one than that. You're going to have more than the two grills you had over Thanksgiving. You're going to try to do 20,000 people.
Well, they're going to have a lot of chicken, so, you know, I can cook a ton of chicken on that grill I got. It ain't nothing like Hogzilla. But I can cook about 250 leg quarters on that grill, so.
Yeah. Well, it takes, you know, when you're cooking for a lot of folks, it really takes some grill space. You know, I've written some blogs about, I do primary fundraising, yeah. We do, I guess my name's Robert Taylor, actually, with Taylor Farms. And I do primarily fundraising. We do some cooking with, we do like Memphis and May, Tim and I do, and maybe another competition there in Bartlett, Tennessee, the Variety Club. And it's a lot of fun. We love it. I enjoy helping them do it. But, man, I tell you what, the fundraising part has just exploded, and that's just all the time we got. But, yeah, it takes some grill space capacity. When you start cooking for 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people, you know, that's a lot of meat. That's tons and tons of meat, you know, just on the meat side.
Yeah, I don't really know what to expect, but we're going to figure it out. And I got to make some phone calls tomorrow and get everything in order. They're supposed to have everything, and we'll get up there. All I'm doing is cooking, so we'll figure that out. And I appreciate you calling in. We're going to move on to our next guest of the night. And if you want to, stay on the line and listen in and commentate, whatever you want to do. It's up to you.
All right, brother. We're here.
I appreciate it. Well, Fraz, I see you're back online. I see you got knocked off a while ago.
Yep, I'm back.
All right. If you're listening, we are doing sauce and rub reviews on the Lulu Soul Smoking Radio Show. I will be cooking with your sauce or rub. I will be tasting it. I will let my customers taste it. You can find that at www.lulusbarbecue.com. It has all the information there. We did one last week. I had Ritter's this week send me some products this week. They sent me some sweet pecan rub, some sweet cherry rub, some cluckin' buckin' rub, and brisket injection marinade. So I'm going to run those down. It's probably going to take me a couple weeks. I probably won't have those done by next week. Possibly could, but we'll see what happens. That's a lot of rub right there to go through. And then I will let you back on the information about what I know about them. And we'll figure that out. You ever had the Ritter's, Troy?
No, I never heard of it.
I know when we was talking to him, I know you was pretty excited about the pecan rub.
Yeah, I like to try a little pecan. I mean, I'm kind of, I got hooked on the pecan a pretty good while back. So, I don't know, I have to try it out and see what it comes out like. You know, get a taste for it anyway.
Well, I tell you what, we're already about 15 minutes into the show. Why don't we bring our first guest on? We're going to play him a little intro music, and then we're going to bring him on to the show. Let's see here. That would be Jeff Yokeup. So if y'all are listening, we're fixing to bring Jeff Yokeup onto the show, talking about the Pro Barbecue book and his videos that he has. Jeff, you on the line with us?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? Sounds like you're doing good.
Oh, we're having a good time. We've got about 8 to 10 people in the chat room. Let's see, something about a Skype call just pulled up. We don't want that. We don't want to do any Skyping tonight. How's it going down your neck of the woods down there in Louisiana?
Oh, man, it's going great. You know, this evening, as a matter of fact, I was out there getting ready to do some Christmas cooking presents and stuff, and I was setting up the trailer in the driveway, and I was like, man, this is great. It feels like I'm going to a barbecue and I don't have to drive anywhere. It's great.
Have your own little competition. Did y'all get any of that nasty weather down there? I didn't know how close that was to you down there where the tornadoes came through.
Oh, no, huh? Missed us. So
that's always good. I know that's always good.
Yeah, we were fine. We were fine.
They're asking me for a link to the Ritter's Rub. Well, let me see if I can find it, guys. Hey, Jeff, won't you give everybody a little bit of background about who you are, how you got started in barbecue, and what actually made you want to write this book that you have?
All right, no problem. Well, first of all, I was a little offended. You know, I mean, I heard you making some comments. You were making some comments about the book, and I saw you say, well, you know, he's just like us. You know, he's not one of those big winner guys. He's just a regular guy. You know, he doesn't really win anything. And I was like, hey, wait a minute, I'm doing better.
But, I didn't say those exact words. But I was close. I was on the edge.
Yeah. No. Look. I got involved. This is my third year in competitive barbecue, and I started off with representing our. We have a little machine shop, kind of hobby shop. We're building some pits, and just kind of stumbled into it as a way to show off those pits. And it was after my second competition, actually, I didn't do well in either of those two. And as part of our ministry, we have a ministry called Yoke Up Ministries, and we preach at a local truck stop. And God just showed me, he said, hey, I want you out there, and I want this to be part of the ministry, and I want you to name your team, Give It to God. So I did that, and changed the name to Give It to God, and just started going out there and barbecuing a lot here in Louisiana. And then last year just made the commitment. I dabbled in some KCBS events, but last year I made the commitment to go exclusive into KCBS competitions and really try and elevate, you know, what I'm doing on the competition side. And a little bit different too, in that, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why people get involved in you know, competition barbecue. Tons of people just want to have fun out there and go, and you know, it's a kind of a formal tailgate, and you know, have a great time and cook and party with the friends and stuff like that. But there's a group of folks, and I'm finding more and more that are getting in touch with me, because it's such a cool sport, and it really satisfies that competitive itch. That there's a bunch of guys that are real serious about it, want to get involved in competitive barbecue, and it gives them an opportunity to participate on a national level, with, you know, in national competitions. The money's getting better and everything else, but that's the audience. That's the guy that I really wrote the book for, are people that I had talked to and said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about getting into this. And so what I did is I kind of put together a guide of advice that I'd given other people, you know, things that I'd learned the hard way, going down the path of getting involved in professional barbecue. And I said, hey, if you want to get involved in these are some things that you need to know about. This is what you can expect when you get into this. And again, it's not for the guys that want to, you know, that are in it to party. These are guys that really want to go and win the American Royal, win the Jack, you know, be in the top 10, be in the top 25 in the country. So that's kind of, you know, that's the logic behind the book. The you know, where I went was, you know, like I said, I started off doing some barbecues, and then got real serious about it, had that competitive itch, and in this last year I just kind of turned it on and started having some success, and really looking forward to next year and doing a bunch of competition. So.
Yeah, when you sent us the book, we met Jeff down at Pine Bluff, Arkansas. We actually was talking to him over the internet, over Facebook, and we ended up getting to meet him down in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And become pretty good friends over the internet and the ways to talk. And he sent us this book. It's called Pro Barbecue, Are You Ready? It's Give It to God Competition Barbecue, official handbook to get you into the great sport of professional barbecue. And when he said, I'm sending you a book, I was thinking, oh, Lord, help me. I don't like to read whatsoever. And I was thinking, I don't know if I can read a book, you know. I couldn't even pay attention to Myron Mix's book or Chris Lilly's book. I'm a picture guy. That's just the way I am, you know. I'm not much on reading. And anything that's got instructions, it don't stand a chance with me. Just give me a picture. But he sent me this book, and I have to say I was really amazed by the book. And everything that's in it is legit and straight down to earth where everybody can understand it. And it's broken down into tables, it's broken down into graphs, it's broken into everything you need to know about barbecue. It's not the nonsense that you get from a lot of books just to sell a lot of, to make money, basically, is what it comes down to. A lot of people write books to make money. Jeff wrote this book to help everybody. Now, Jeff, there is a fee, correct? Is there a fee for this? Would you like to tell them about that?
Yeah, there is. There is, because for the hard copy. But that was the point behind the videos is you can see the entire book, and I'll walk through it in the video series on YouTube. If you go to you can just Google or just go to YouTube and type in "Give It to God," and that, you know, my channel will come up, which is called The Yoke Up. But I have a 10-series video program out there, and basically what I did is I took the book, sat in my trailer with a green screen behind me, and I went through the book page by page, so that, you know, you don't have to buy the book, but if you want a hard copy of it, you can get that. You can get that from our website, and it's I think $19, which includes shipping. So, but again, you don't have to. You know, the whole thing, like you said, it's not to make money. The whole idea is, I really want to help. I really want to give this back to the sport of barbecue. I really want to have guys have a great experience as they're getting into this. And my buddy of mine said it better than I ever could. He said, this book really will take you, it takes a year off your learning curve. Because if you're going out there and you're trying to get involved in competitive barbecue, you know, you're going to fumble and stumble through a lot of the things that we talk about, and then, you know, in your first year. And this is a way just to say, okay, you don't need to stumble and fumble through all these issues. Let's get you down the path so you can work on your flavor profile and your tenderness and your appearance, and all those things are going to matter when it's sitting in front of the judge. You know, but it's not a cookbook. You know, I mean, I'm not giving away recipes. I'm not giving away techniques. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm really working. I'm really talking about, which I think nobody really talks about, is the mechanics of participating in this competitive barbecue, and what to expect, how much it's going to cost, the kind of equipment that you need, all those kind of questions, which, you know, a lot of people don't talk about.
And that's right. A lot of people do not talk about it. And, Troy, you can chime in anytime you want to. You know, people don't talk about that. And that's what really interests me about this book. And I actually did read it from cover to cover. It wasn't your, you know, typical book to where I got to read this. You know, it wasn't one of those, like, what do you do in school?
Textbook.
Yeah, a textbook, or what did they make you do, read and write about it? What was that called, a report book or something?
Book report, yeah.
Yeah, book report. Make you read a book report. I was horrible at those. I never got no pizzas at Pizza Hut. But
it's not a book report, it's called paper. You're writing a paper now.
Writing a paper, not book report. But let's get back to this book. I mean, this book, it has everything you need to know about the world of barbecue, how to get into it, how to start. And, like, on the first page, it's got all the introduction stuff, and you pass through all that. And people always talk to me about different things, and this is what I always say to them. And I found it hilarious when I was reading your book, and it's on the first page, and it says, everybody tells you your barbecue is the best ever. And that's the first question I always ask everybody. So you got the best barbecue, right? Yeah, that's good. I'm like, well, your food sucks. Not necessarily sucks, but it's the same way with us. When we started out, we thought our food was the best ever. And it really wasn't the best ever. It's just the mentality of the band that they always think everybody, your food is the best or your way is the best. And it's really not where it's at until later you realize, hey, that food wasn't worth a crap. And, you know, I know that, and we know that. But he's got, so you're the king of the backyard, the go-to guy for tailgates, the man, the meat magic in the neighborhood, and everybody tells you your barbecue is awesome. You should open a restaurant or do one of those competitions. Yeah, I know you'd win. Your stuff is the best ever. That just cracked me up. And there's some different other things. Jeff, you want to talk about some of the other stuff that you got in here below that? We can go right through the book if you want to. If you want to watch the videos, you can go to YouTube. You can look up Give It to God, and you can find all the videos there. I was posting them up on Facebook. You should be able to find them on our Facebook page, or you can find them at www.lulusbarbecue.com. He's got his own page on there about the book and all the videos there if you want to watch them step by step. But I assure you the hard copy is something great that you will want to have.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Cody. You know, I mean, I just walking through it, I tried to just write it and speak it as if you and I are sitting around having a conversation, which is, you know, simple and easy to do. But, I mean, you start off with everybody telling you it's great barbecue, and then, you know, one of the questions to ask is, okay, hey, would you pay for it? You know, it's $5 a plate. Would you pay for it? And in your case, a lot of people do. So you do have great barbecue, but a lot of people are just, they say your barbecue is great because you're giving it to them for free. But, you got barbecue and you're thinking about these competitions. So the first thing, and it's easy to do nowadays, you know, with the internet, is do some research. And, you know, I put some websites out there, KCBS, killerhogs.com. Your website is a great resource. barbecuecritic.com, so as you can see, I mean, if you really want to dive into the topic, and again, the audience I'm talking to are guys that really want to compete and really, really want to be competitive out there on a national stage. And so, you know, then I walk into, hey, well, what are you cooking? What's for dinner? You know, I mean, well, it's chicken thighs, ribs, pulled pork, and brisket. A lot of people don't even know what we cook and what we turn in. But then one of the things you got to do is after you do your research and you're saying, hey, you know, this looks pretty good. Well, then, you know, you got to move forward, make a decision. Hey, I'm going to compete. And this is really what I want to do. And again, I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately, I know you see it too. I see a lot of guys coming out there and competing and it's just a party for them. Well, that gets to be a real expensive party. I mean, when you're talking about barbecue competitions, you're looking at a minimum, you're going to spend, you know, $400 at the very minimum. It's more likely going to be about $600 to $800, and then it could go up from there depending upon your travel. So, I mean, you're going to have that's just to compete. That's not including equipment or, you know, anything like that. That's just, you know, the kind of money that you're talking about. And if you're going to be competitive, you need to be thinking about doing 10, you know, between 5, 10, 15 competitions per year. So, again, you're analyzing and researching this, and then it's like, okay, can I do this and hunt and water ski and fish? And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, well, you guess, you know, if you have unlimited resources, that's great. But if you don't, you're going to start thinking, you know, how serious do I want to get in this? Because I guarantee you, if you're not competing at a high level in a number of contests, you're just not going to do good. So, you know, you got to understand that going in.
Yeah, I don't know if I heard this from you or I heard it from somebody else or I watched something. It goes back to, you know, it's talking about the backyard, about your food being awesome. And, you know, when we started out, our food really wasn't that great. It really wasn't. But, you know, it has moved up. We've learned. But I don't remember where I saw this at, but it was talking about they was cooking in the backyard and you think you got the best food around. And everybody's loving it. Everybody's eating it. And they said, well, next time you cook out and you got 15 or 20 people over and you're making plates, charge them $10 a plate and see how many pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that'll tell you if your barbecue is good. If they turn and they say, oh, look, I can't make it over. Well, then, you know, your barbecue's not that great. It's great if it's free. It's not so great if you're charging for it. You know. But, so, you know, I mean, you get to that point, you do your research, you're saying, okay, I'm going to do this, whatever. And then, you know, I kind of go into equipment considerations, things that you need. And if you're cooking in the backyard, you probably are real close to having what you need as far as equipment is to compete. And I walk through some pits like the Weber WSM and just talk about that because that's really the lowest, a very low-end entry level, but great barbecue pit that you can get involved with. I talk about things that you need to be concerned about with your barbecue pits because with those and I was cooking on the ones we made, you know, that got into it, which were offset stick burners and just made out of heavy steel. But the problem was that when we're competing in an area that has weather issues, be it, and especially wind. Wind and rain will wreak havoc on your cookers. And if it's not an insulated cooker, a lot of them out there, stumps, backwoods, the whole idea of having an insulated cooker will maintain that temperature for you, which becomes critical when you're cooking those big meats. You don't want that temperature spiking all over the place and going down and trying to hold it. So insulated cookers get to be real important. So I talk about those kind of things, you know, and I kind of walk through that just not only to get somebody – started, but also, you know, really want to help get you down the path. And then I get into talking about your setup and your camp setup, because basically what you're doing, and people don't think this ahead of time, but you're basically taking an entire kitchen and moving it somewhere. and then setting up your kitchen and having everything that you need in order to prepare all this food. It's not just cooking hot dogs or cooking burgers or tailgate. I mean, you've got four different meats that you have to prepare and box or plate up. So, you know, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of equipment to make sure that you have that. So I kind of walk through those in detail, you know, exactly what you need and what's going on. So, question.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't, I mean, when a lot of people think about the barbecue competitive world, you know, they see everybody with trailers. I know we got one. I know you got one. But it's not a necessity that you have to have starting out. All you need is a tent, just a grill, and a good thermometer.
Yeah.
I promise you, a good thermometer if you're starting out to have that. And, you know, a lot of people, it does cost money. It does cost money when you're getting into it. It does cost quite a bit of money. I know you had that laid out.
Right.
Let me see here. I know you had it laid out right here. You know, you're looking at, you can budget for $600 to $900 per competition. You know, your entry fees are going to cost you anywhere between $250 to $300. Your meats will cost you anywhere between $100 to $150. Then your supplies $100 to $150. Then your traveling fuel is about $100 to $150. And then miscellaneous. You know, there's nowhere I don't think we've ever been that we haven't spent no more than $800. I mean,
yes.
No less than $800. Because
yeah.
By the time you add in fuel, we buy the meat, we get everything going. We get over there, and it's like, hey, we got to go Walmart. I don't know what it is about Walmart. Anywhere we go, we used to do fishing tournaments and go everywhere. And it's like we can tell you every Walmart in the whole United States and where it's going to be at because for some reason we always need something. It's the place I hate more than anything, but I use it more than anything. But, you know, you're getting into those expenses. You're always going to need something to take some backup cash. You know, when we went to our first competition, we did have the kitchen sink and we did have the cabinets and the countertop, literally. We did have that in our tent. But, you know, you don't need all that. You know, you just need some buckets to clean up with, several different things like that. They will have sanitations, regulations that you need to go by, which a lot of them don't go by them, but, you know, they will enforce them if they have to, if somebody's there. But I know you got that. Let's see what else you got. Troy, you want to comment on anything?
Man, going in comps, like I say, man, I mean, I'm working on this year. I'm streamlining down. I'm got to start marking stuff off the list last year, things that I'd use and not use. So I'm like I say, getting the list down there to where I hadn't got to have so much. Because it gets to where a lot of stuff, you know, you get there and you don't use it. You know, you notice that you carried along two or three times and you still haven't ever used it. So, you know, why bring it? And,
yeah.
Matter of fact, like I said, I'm trying to streamline down to where that I can get everything, get my smoker and everything I need for the comp loaded into a Jeep is my goal.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way we are because we used to travel heavy. I mean, we still kind of travel heavy, but, you know, we pack everything you can imagine. But we've kind of knocked it down to a single tote of what we cover in our seasonings, our knives, our shakers, things like that. Everything you need for competition, we just keep it in a tote, and we just take it and put it on the shelf when we get done, take it, put it back in the trailer, and we're ready to go. So, you know, we have kind of scaled down from, you know, the – Jay Clampett and Beverly Hillbilly since our first couple of competitions.
Yeah, exactly.
I got two totes that I pack up and I'm thinking I'm gonna try to get that down to just one tote to pack and a 5 gallon bucket and I'm headed that way.
That's a great way to do it.
Next thing you like to point out, Jeff, I see the must-haves in professional competition, you know, the KCBS format, you got that on there, you got multiple judging criteria, you got, you know, the printed results. You want to talk about the printed results any, about that? Because, I mean, you have several graphs back here that you go off of, and we'll get into the graphs and your kind of layout. That's kind of a little later on, but I'm just kind of going page by page of the book, kind of pointing things out.
Yeah, you know, and that's a firestorm topic when you start talking about, you know, competitions and sanctioning bodies and things like that. again, I mean, I really want to emphasize that what I'm talking about are guys, you know, and I'm writing this to the guy that's reading this and saying, you know what, this is where I really want to be. It's kind of like, you know, I want to play in the NFL or whatever, you know. I mean, I want to be at the top of the game. And in order to do that, you know, I learned the hard way about different competitions and different issues and things going on. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I would say is the most critical is that you've got to get feedback on how you performed in that cook-off. You've got to see the results of what you've done. If you're not getting those results, you're shooting blind every time. I mean, you know, to pay all this money, go to a competition, and then walk away with, you know, you didn't know where you finished, and you didn't know why you finished where you did, and you didn't know where anybody else finished, then you're just guessing, and you're saying, well, maybe I need to work on this, you know, this flavor profile. Maybe I need to cook a little bit more. Maybe I need to do that. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be a perfect scenario because you're talking about taste, and you're talking about there's a big subjective element in it. But what happens with, and Florida barbecue does a great job too. I haven't cooked in Georgia, but I think Georgia does the same thing. They're going to give you, well, first of all, the way that they judge you is going to be different, and they're going to give you feedback on your appearance, what it looked like when they opened the box, on your tenderness, how you cooked it. Was it overcooked or undercooked or cooked just right? And then the flavor profile, you know, did it taste well, and how did it taste, and how did the judge feel about that? That taste thing is always going to be the last thing that you can dial in. For me, when I start getting that feedback, what I could really start to focus on was making sure I had my appearance right. Barbecue critic, you know, pictures of boxes and just learning really what a good box looks like. Dialing that in, and then dialing in the texture, how I'm cooking it. Forget about rubs and sauces and and all that kind of stuff, but just work on those two things first. Get those scores up to where they're at. Then I went after the flavor profile, and once I had, you know, then you get all three of those clicking, and your scores are working good in all three of those areas. Then you start winning. Then you start getting calls. Then you start moving up the chain. But you've got to have that feedback, and so that's why I put that in there. And of course, I'm KCBS. I'm partial to KCBS because I think they do a great job of being transparent in how the judging process is done, and I think they're very upfront about exactly everything that goes on at a competition. And that's why I reprinted the rules, which are great to read, and it's a great course. In and of itself, just reading the rules. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I've seen the rules in there. I think that is a great aspect because most time when you get competitions, you're going, "Where's the rules at? Where's the rules at?" But you know, there's not a whole lot of rules that, you know, they do pass out that I have noticed. You know, the first couple contests we did, I know they had some rules that they would pass out. But you know, the scoring is different in the KCBS. You do need to know that to figure out what the scoring is. You know, like the appearance, the taste, and the tenderness, which your taste is the top points leader in the KCBS, and the tenderness, and then your appearance actually comes in right there close behind it. But they all got to be top-notch to be able to get you into the top 10 is what you're looking for. Now, I know in your book, I know you got some other things here. I know you talk about doing a practice run, you know, setting it up at home, running it down, getting everything ready to go, kind of simulating at your house. What the contest is going to be like to make sure you got everything going. Because times are – you go by a lot of times, don't you, Jeff?
Yeah. And until you actually experience it, until you actually experience that four-meat turn-in within, you know, an hour and a half and, you know, having to cook to be able to do that. I mean, there's no way I can't imagine just – thinking it up and never doing it and just jumping into it and trying to make it happen. And that's why, you know, again, I'm strongly recommending and encouraging people. I did this myself. In fact, I did three runs at home on the exact timeline of a competition. But I encourage guys, I'm telling them, I'm like, hey, look, do it to the extent that you pack up your trailer like you're going somewhere. and drive out of your driveway, drive around the block, downtown, drive back, and start unloading, you know, and unload and build your camp and get set up, and because you're gonna encounter things and say, hey, you know, I didn't think about this, I didn't think about that, I didn't think about this, didn't think about that, and then you take your notes, and then you're better prepared for the next time, and especially cooking to the timeline, you know, it's like look, I gotta turn in, you know, chicken at noon. Ribs at 12:30, pork at 1, brisket at 1:30. And when you're zeroing in on being able to turn those things in, because there's no leeway. If you're, you know, if you're late, you're late, you're disqualified. So that's why I encourage guys to do that.
One of the things I found really – Go ahead, Troy.
I said, yeah, like you say, that's always good to set up and do those practice runs. Try to do that, you know, maybe every so often around here to get those times down, because those times, like you say, you know, 5 seconds, I mean, well, really just a second. I mean, you just don't know how important a second is until you walk up to that window and the sign's turned over, the clock's down, and you know, they tell you no. I think Chris Lilly can stake to that better than anybody.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't Chris Lilly. Who was it on the first season of Barbecue Pit Masters that took a casual stroll up there and then got there and he was late?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember who it was.
I am not for sure, to be honest with you.
I think it was Butt Rub, yeah, that's who it was. I'm thinking right.
Well, Jeff, there's something else that really caught my eye about the book that even I found this very interesting to myself, as something that I need, because I'm the Walmart guy. Don't forget, I'm that Walmart guy. To where, you know, you have the checklist. And
right.
On this checklist, I'm going to let you discuss, you know, there's two pages of checklists. And if you're watching his videos of him getting ready for the competition, before he gets to the competition, he's got this checklist, and he breaks it down by day of what he is doing, and then has everything there, so that way you know you have everything, because that's my problem. Let's throw this in the truck. Let's get this in the trailer. Oh, man, I forgot this. We got to go to Walmart and spend more money. But I want you to break that down, because we really strongly talked about using this this checklist, make sure we had everything we need. But I want you to talk about it and tell them how you put it together.
Well, I mean, even after 36 competitions, 37 competitions, I mean, I still, it's the same routine that I do on Sunday. I print out this list. It's 2 pages, and it has, you know, the food that I need to bring, the equipment, tools, and supplies. But I also break it down. Like I said, my game week starts on Sunday, before the competition. And that's when I'm pulling, you know, either my pork or my brisket or whatever I got in the freezer, because when I see a good brisket and I fall in love with it, I'm buying that sucker, man, and that's going in my freezer, you know. I mean, I'm holding those. So I'm usually pulling a frozen brisket out, and I pull it out on Sunday. Monday I'm working with my sauces, brines, and seasonings, making sure that I have a tote box too, and making sure that that's all stocked and everything's ready to go, and I'm you know, it's all full, and those are taken care of. I'm making my brines. I'm making my, you know, mixing my sauces, doing what I need to do there. That's taken care of. That's out of the way. Tuesday, different places I'm going shopping, Sam's, Academy for wood or whatever, Walmart, you know, whatever you need. I'm starting to prep meat. There's a little technique that I use. I pull my brisket out, frozen on Sunday. On Tuesday, it's still pretty much frozen, and that's when I'm shaving that blue skin off of there, which comes off really easy when it's frozen. So a little technique thing that I do there.
Hey, Jeff, let me let you hit on that for a minute, because there's a lot of people out there in the barbecue world that does not know that you can prep your meat before the contest. You know, a lot of people think that you have to prep it when you're at the contest, but a lot of people don't know that you can prep it at home. So you want to hit on that for a minute?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, and it's an important note too that you got to. That's why you got to read those rules. In Florida, you can in Florida barbecues, you can prep your meat at home, but you've got to have the original packaging, which is a real interesting little twist. You got to bring that original packaging with it so they can see that. But yes, in KCVS, you can prepare. You can't put any seasoning on it. You can't do any marinating, but you can do all your trimming and all your prepping ahead of time. And so what I'll do, like I say, I'll take it out on Sunday. On Tuesday, I'm opening up that brisket. I'm shaving the blue skin off of there so that when I do put my rubs and marinades on there, that the, you know, it'll absorb better. I'm trimming it all down to exactly what I want, trimming the fat that I want off of there, trimming it to the size that I want. And then I'm vacuum sealing it, double vacuum sealing it back up, which is real important to have a vacuum sealer when you're doing these kind of things. But I'll do that. I'll trim my ribs. I'll pull the membrane off the back of the rib. These will be ready to take out, open up, and put rub on them, or you know, do whatever I'm going to do. My chicken, most people are cooking chicken thighs. I'll prep my chicken thighs. And that's one of the most time-intensive preparations in KCVS, because you've got to, you know, if you're shaving your skins and doing those kind of things and trimming them, that's a labor-intensive deal. So I'll do that ahead of time, and again, vacuum seal them, get them in there, and my thighs I'll freeze again and throw them back into the cooler when I'm getting ready to pack it up and get out. So, yeah, I take care of all that stuff ahead of time, and I break that down throughout the week, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, fueling the truck, getting things loaded, getting the parsley, getting ice bags ready to go Friday, loading and going, you know, and then just making sure as I'm packing, I have everything on my list. And, you know, and the list is on the website and in the book and on the videos, and you can just see, I don't want to have to guess, and I don't want to have to remember anything, you know? And so I just a discipline that I use to go through each and every one of these items, and it has saved my butt. I can't remember a competition where it hasn't saved my butt to where I'm getting ready to go out the door and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, you know, I don't have this or I don't have that. So go grab it and pack it. When I'm done with all this and everything's checked off, I know I'm ready to go. I'm ready to roll.
What about you, Troy? You want to comment on that?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of that procrastinator, I guess. I mean, I try my best to get some stuff done ahead of time, but you know, then it winds up coming down that I'm that guy doing it 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, on that Thursday night or that Friday night. I really want to get in, you know, come more prepared to the comps this year. I'm going to make an effort to definitely get stuff done ahead of time like he's talking about, because it makes it so smooth when you got all that stuff already done.
Yeah.
Well,
the other thing is, guys, I'm a one-man team. And I'm telling you, man, it's an intense situation, you know, from which is one of the things that I love about it. But as a one-man team, I got to have as much done ahead of time as I can, because when game's on, you know, it's there's no time. You know, if you screw something up or something doesn't work, there's no recovery time for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what's like me and Kobe when we cook together, and Trent. We all cook together. It does give us a little bit of variables because I am the slacker. y'all don't believe that, though. But, you know, I'm the one who wants to sleep in. He's the one kicking me in the butt, trying to get me up. But, you know, that it does make a big difference if you're a one-man process. You know, I pretty much do stuff through the week. It's all by myself, and it does make a big difference when, even though you're tired and you want to get stuff, you don't want to get stuff done, if you get it done early and you're getting there, it makes everything else a little bit more enjoyable, especially going into a contest, or if you're just selling on the weekend or selling through the week, or, you know, if you have a business like that, it does make a big, huge difference. Organization.
Yeah,
you wouldn't think that in barbecue, because you wouldn't think anything about barbecue would be organized, but, you know, it really is organized down to the T's.
Oh, it has to be. I mean, it has to be. We'll talk about it in just a little while here. We'll talk about crunch time, which is an incredible time, man. But
there's one thing I wish that you know, that one little thing in the rows there to tweak. I really wish that you could go ahead. I mean, I know there's several videos up there how to, you know, to do your, you know, prep your boxes beforehand. You know, do them backwards, flip them over and all that. But I really wish you could go ahead and get your boxes, you know, be able to do your boxes before time. And then when the judges come around, just let them write the number on your box. You know, a 9x9 styrofoam is a 9x9 anywhere you get it at, I reckon. That's one thing I'd like to see change in the KCBS, where you go ahead and have it, to have your box done and not have to worry about doing the flip over version to make it right, you know.
Yeah, the boxes are boxes can be a nightmare. I mean, they can be an absolute nightmare. And you know, if you don't do it, you know, it could cost you a point. You know, and a point on appearance can be the difference between the grand champion and the, you know, and a fifth place finish. I mean, it's, you know, that's how tight it gets sometimes in some of these competitions. So I feel your pain, man. You know, I've got it down to where I can from start to finish, I can have my part, and they're complete partially boxes, but I can have them done in about just a little over an hour. So I'm scrambling pretty quick, but we can get it done. So
do all four
of them an hour. What was that?
I thought folks out there that did prep, they did their box. What they do is put it on like a wax paper, and when they get ready, when they get their boxes in for the competition, they just transfer what they did in one clamshell to the competition clamshell.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard of folks doing that. I don't do it, but I've heard of folks that do that. They actually build the box or do all their partial work, and
right.
You know, they make their special. You can actually make a four-sided box with something under it, and just set it down in your clamshell. Pull your wax paper out from under it, pull the frame off, and there's your palette already set for your. And you have to dress it up a little bit, but you can make those up before you compete. Keep them refrigerated so they don't wilt. But yeah, you can do that.
That's a pretty good point. Never heard that one before.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good idea.
I think you can do it probably about 1 to 2 days ahead. You don't want to go too far ahead, but if you do it, you know, a day or two ahead. You refrigerate it. Keep it well refrigerated, and that day. And then when you take it with you, you just put it in a ice box cooler. And man, you just transfer it over to the clamshells that give you. And you have to, like I said, you got a little tidying to do, of course, and a little,
right.
You know, bring some spare, you know, some extra to touch up your box with. But yeah, you can go in there and. You know, it's like you said, all the prep work with the meat and everything, you can do it with your clamshells as well. I don't compete much, but we do compete.
Yeah. That's a really good idea to try and do that. One of the things that I do is once I get those parsley boxes built, and I can see where this would work too, is I put a paper towel over the top of it before I close the box, and I squirt it down with water. And I soak it pretty good with water. And I'm telling you, the next day when I open those up, it just kind of expands, you know, underneath there and turns into this nice little parsley mat. So I mean, I could see that, you know, that having them done ahead of time and then just transferring it over, that'd work out pretty good. So, good idea. You should write a book. That's a good idea.
Hey Troy, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're there. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you, one of the things, you know, listening to y'all talk about this, like I said, I'm not a big competitor, but one I do cook with a couple of guys that have competed, mainly on the Memphis and May circuit for years and years. But one strong thing is I learned about cooking barbecue was the fact that I had two guys who were competitors. Okay, when I cook something for fun or ribs or whatever, I had guys that would be honest with me. You know, you can cook a lot of food for a lot of family and friends, and like you said, if you ain't charging $10 a pop, you're probably going to get a head nod up and down, awesome, best I ever had. But when you got some guys, you know, that you can really say, hey, tell me what you think, and you know that they're going to be honest with you. You're going to say, well, a little too much sauce, a little too much rub, not tender enough, overdone, need to pull this. You know what I mean? You've got some real honest feedback from real barbecue cooks. And it's not done in a defaming way. It's done
right.
in an honest manner to make you better at what you do. And that's, in you know, learning to cook barbecue over the years, those guys, like I said, they're very good cooks. They've been around the game a long time, and they're judges. They went, you know, I've been to a judging school just to kind of get a little more idea of what judges look for. You know, I found the one thing that helped me the most was to have somebody who was going to be honest with me about what I cooked and what it tasted like, how tender it was, and the flavor combinations, and overpowering meats or not giving enough, or finding that balance between meat, rubs, sauces, glazes, you know, injections, whatever. That's another thing that I really cherished is, you know, learning to cook barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, critiquing is a big practice in the barbecue world. You got to be able to take criticism. If you can't,
right.
then you're probably not going to last very long because you need them opinions to get further along the lines. You have to listen to people. I know, Jeff, you have listened to people. I know we have listened to people. And I know in your crunch time, I know you have that broken down so everybody can see all your products, how they go and what time frames they are in. So that's another big step. You know, critiquing is a big step, but having the times laid out for you in your crunch time area of every time, when to full, when to test, when, I mean, you have it broken down. Won't you talk about it? Because, I mean, you know it like the back of your hand.
Yeah. No, I will. And I appreciate that insight, too, on the feedback. You know, I was thinking about it as you guys were talking about it, and it's awesome to have people that are successful in barbecue taste your stuff and give you feedback, and you want them to be completely honest with you. I think one of the big misnomers with a lot of guys out there is that, you know, they're thinking, hey, my barbecue is great. And so they're all thinking, well, I got to have some kind of whiz-bang deal, you know, and flavor and, you know, rock the world and all this kind of stuff. And it's amazing if you ever get a chance to taste world champion, you know, top of the line, top 10 barbecue, competitive barbecue, you taste it. And I'm telling you, your response would be, whoa. That's it, you know? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
that wins, and it's like, yeah.
That's what
wins.
I'm going for next year.
Yeah, well, that's
exactly what I'm going for next year. That's what I figured it out to be. I don't think they're looking for anything over the top. I think they're looking for a kosher meal, I guess you could say.
Well, the way I had it explained to me, which made a lot of sense, is what you want the reaction you want that judge to have, no matter what they're taking, no matter what they're biting, chicken, ribs, pork, brisket, is they're going to take a bite, and they're going to say, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? And that's the best thing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not. And the worst thing you want them to do is what I've heard and what I've learned. The worst thing you want them to do is take a bite and hesitate and think like, that's good, but what is that? You know, is that nutmeg? Is that, you know, it tastes like cumin? You know what I mean? It's like some flavor which is really good, but it's throwing them, and they're having to think about it. I mean, it's almost like you want them to take a bite, and that's just good. Barbecue, and that's what wins. So, I mean, I've tasted world championship chicken and ribs, and it's like, man, that's, you know, it's almost like you're kidding me. This one, you know? But yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. And so you work.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly right about that. I mean, you know, sometimes middle, you know, the middle of the road is what most people like, and you know that. That's kind of what I shoot for, personally speaking. But you know, that those flavors and crazy, you know, like you said, cinnamons and things. You know, I try to tell people to shy away from it. Just, you know, you know what's good, cook it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, let the meat be the meat. You know.
I agree 100% with you.
Yeah, this year my flavor profiles are going. It's so simple. It's almost like, wow, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I'm really going for just really well cooked food. You know, let the food be the food. You know, let the meat be the meat. So, but we'll see how it does. If it doesn't do any good, I may go wildy on me. You know, next year. But this is where I'm going this year. But I have in the book I put a schedule in there, and it's my actual schedule. I changed a couple things, you know, just kind of keep some of the stuff secret. But I walk from 11 o'clock the on Friday through turn in of brisket, and I walk through that crunch time where literally, you know, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 1:30 in the afternoon. Some of these are broken down in 5-minute increments, and I'm doing, especially like when I'm just getting ready to turn in chicken. You got things you're dealing with chicken, things you're dealing with ribs, your pork, there's something going on, and brisket, something. I mean, it's like all four things, and you're working all of them at the exact same time, and you got to get one out, you got to rest it, you got to get another one on the pit, reglaze it, you got to do it, you got to get your au jus warmed up, there's tons of stuff that you're doing. If you don't have a schedule, there's no way you're going to keep track of all this stuff. There's too much going on in too quick a period of time, you know, of having to turn in chicken and then half an hour later, another one, that half an hour will go so fast. The only way I've described it to people, and the only thing that can compare to it for anybody that played football out there, is it's like running 2-minute offense for 3 hours. You know, no timeouts. You got to score. You're not in the huddle. You're no huddle, and you're just going. You're just trying to get this thing done. So, there's an example there that I actually walked through. So,
well, let me ask you this, Jeff. I know you got that laid out. I'm looking at your graph that has your evaluations from your contest. You started out in Pensacola. The last one I got on here, I do believe, is either Jackson or Dothan, Alabama. Which one is the last one that you done?
Let's see. I'm trying to get to that. Well, the last one
looks
I did
like
was
Jackson.
On the book is Jackson, yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you first started out down here in Pensacola, was you as organized as what you was when you started out doing this? Because I'm looking at the graph, it's just going up, up, up. You've got all the way down to 50th place, all the way up to, you know, first place. And, you know, your scores just through the years, you know, you had some 50th, well, not 50, we'll say 45, 48th place. And you had, you know, and they jump up here to 10th place. And then you had a lot that was kind of scattered over the board until you kind of got to Ashland and Pine Bluff, Arkansas, to where they kind of started working their way out. It seems
right.
Like going into the contest more here at the end of the year, you really kind of become close-knit to where your scores have been a lot better and seem like they have been doing real well in the top tens here.
Well, yeah, at the end of the year, I had a reserve grand champion in Ashland. I had reserve in Vidalia. I had grand in Dothan, Alabama, and I took third at Elba in that Florida barbecue. And it does have a lot to do with – well, it has a lot to do with a lot of things. I mean, I think a big piece of it is organization. I think it has to do with experience. And that's why I said in the beginning, if you really want to be on the national level, you know, you got to cook a lot of competitions. The more you cook, the more you experience all of those things, the more you experience the whole, you know, that crunch time, and the better you get at not rushing through it. You know, I mean, it's like anybody that's good at anything, any professional athlete or artist or whatever it is. What? Hello.
My bad. My finger hit something. I'm sorry about that.
Not a problem. One of the things that happens is the better that you get at, the things start to slow down. So, I mean, it was chaos at the beginning of the year in Pensacola, Mobile, Hammond. You know, it was really chaos trying to, even though I had a schedule, it wasn't broken down to those tasks that were really helping me move forward. So I was running like a chicken with my head cut off. And not to say that it's not intense now, but it's more focused and it's smoother. And so, you know, I'm walking through that whole cooking process more efficiently. And again, if you look at that going from 50th, you know, moving up to reserve and grand champion, a lot of that has to do with perseverance, and a lot of that has to do with that feedback that you get and those scores and seeing, you know, where you're at and what areas that you need to improve on. And just like the guys were saying, taking criticism, you know, don't be looking for people to tell you what you want to hear. Seek out people that will tell you what you need to hear. I had to change a lot of what I was doing in order to be, you know, I could have let my pride get in the way and say, you know, look, I'm going to make this, you know, I'm going to do this the way I'm doing it. I'm going to keep it the way I'm doing it. I had a rub I thought was the greatest rub in the whole world. I had to throw it out. I had to throw it out. I said, you know what, this just ain't working. And people tried telling me. I wouldn't listen. So that went out the door, you know. Go ahead.
Let me go on this from what you're saying about that, because, you know, our rub's kind of exotic. It don't really hit in the KCBS. We've done different things. More of a bland style seems to do really well. Don't ask me why. It just seems to do really well. You know, if you're cooking barbecue, the extraordinary stuff really does not seem to fly over that well with the judges as well as you think it would. But, you know, you're talking about throwing those out, and I'm looking at the results. You know, you started off the year in Pensacola. You had a 36 in chicken. You had, roughly a 32 in ribs. You had about a 22 in pork. And you had probably about a 27th in brisket. And overall, I think you were somewhere around the 32 mark. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
And then, you know, I'm looking at the last two contests here that's on the book. And it's Dothan, Alabama, and Jackson. Dothan, you end up taking, I do believe it's the first in chicken. You had first in ribs. You had either a fifth or fourth place in pork. Brisket, you had 11th, and you took overall. And then
right.
In Jackson, which these are contests right here at the end of the year, you know, just a couple months ago. And then in Jackson, you had, looks like a 10th in chicken. You had a sixth or a fifth place in ribs. You had about a 13th or 14th place in pork.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a sixth place in brisket, and you finished overall within the eighth category. So,
I mean,
that's some pretty big standings that has changed through the years. You know, looking at your graphs, you can see that. I mean, you can see the huge change that you have done something to change what you was doing, whether it's the organization or, you know, the way you're cooking or breaking it down to the times and being more organized. I think the times really have a lot to do with it, and I think your recipes have a lot to do with it. And, you know, it makes things really different in the barbecue world because, if I'm not mistaken, I think you're done a lot earlier than a lot of other cooks because I'm a last-minute person. I'm there.
Yeah.
I was always the last person to contest with that, but I think you kind of get things done a little bit earlier, if I can pry a little bit there. And we also got a caller on the line. Let me let him in and see 662-436-9330.
Yes, sir.
You're on the line. You want to talk to Jeff about anything?
No, I just called to listen to you.
Oh, you just called to listen to me? I'll hold you off here in a minute, son. We'll get back on him here in a minute. What else you want to tell us about the book, Jeff? We got about 47 minutes left on the show. I might get Neil Big Mr. Strada on here pretty soon. But is there anything else you want to clarify about the book? I know we pretty much went all the way through it. How they can reach you, how they can find you. If you got any sponsors, I know you got some sponsors. And I want you to tell one story for me. One story.
Yes,
just one story.
Yes,
when we met Jeff, he came up to the trailer and he had this tattoo in his arm. And I said, "That's a cool tattoo." I said, "There's a story behind that tattoo." And I said, "Is there?" And he said, "Yeah." So he got to tell us the story about the Thank You Fairy. And I want him to share the Thank You Fairy. If we don't get to talk about anything else tonight, I want him to share the thank you story tonight with everybody that's listening.
Oh, man, thank you so much. That is so cool. There's nothing I'd rather talk about. I'll tell you what, I love barbecue. I love barbecue. I love the story, too. It's a story that, starts off sad, but it gets really cool. You got to hang with me through the sad part. But coming up on 6 years ago, I got a phone call. I got the phone call that no parent ever wants to get. My daughter, my oldest daughter, 19 years old at the time, freshman in college, on academic scholarship out there in California. And she was a great athlete, obviously, you know, DNA, you know what I'm saying? And she was training to run in her first half marathon, and she was standing in an elevator waiting to work out. A blood clot broke loose from her lungs and got between her heart and lungs. There was nothing anybody could do, and she died. And that was tragic and sudden and unexpected and chaotic, to say the least. And that's the sad part. And there's a lot that goes with that in the next couple of days. But I'm giving you the gas pump version that I tell people when I pull up and fill up my gas tank. But she, the cool part was that 2 weeks before Brooke died, her and her friends were talking, and they said, hey, if you had the dream job, if you could do anything in the world, regardless of how much money you made, what would you do? And Brooke said, I would be the thank you fairy. And I would go around and I would thank everybody who needs to be thanked but hasn't been. And so when I heard that at her funeral, I said, Brooke, you got your job here in heaven. I'm working for you. So I want everybody that's listening to my voice right now to know there's things you do that you need to be thanked for, and I don't know what they are, but I work for the thank you fairy. And if we were together, I would give you a card that shows this. But on behalf of the thank you fairy, you've all just been thanked. So thank you for allowing me to share that story, Cody.
Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight, Jeff. And I know we'll have you on a little bit later. We're going to have to move on to Neil Big Mr. Strada. If you want to get the poll, Barbecue Are You Ready book, you can get it at www.lewisbarbecue.com. The videos are on there. Or you can find it on, www.yokeup.net. You can find it on there.
There
I couldn't find it on my book. I was looking on the front page. But you can find all that there. And, Jeff, I appreciate you being on. If you want to hang on with us, you can hang out with us if you like. And I appreciate you.
Thank you, Cody. God bless you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, bud. All right, caller 9330. How are you doing tonight? You still there, 9330?
I am, sir.
Well, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, better. I couldn't stand it. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Where are you calling from?
Columbus, Mississippi.
Columbus, Mississippi. Now, who we got on this line tonight?
Hank Baden.
Hank Baden? And y'all know Hank Baden out there? I know y'all know Hank Baden. I ain't going to make fun of him tonight because I appreciate him calling the show. I like him a lot. Fraz, you know who Hank Baden is? I don't know if Fraz is even with us anymore. No, it don't even look like Fraz is with us. I guess he done dropped off the line. So what's going on down there?
Not much, man.
Anything
what's
good?
With you?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot on. Cooking
barbecue?
Let's see what's going on in the chat room. Oh, Randy Hill run his mouth. I hear you, Randy. I hear you run your mouth. What you got cooking on down there, Hank?
Shoulders and briskets, brother. Shoulders and briskets.
You know Big Mr. Barbecue?
I do.
He's fixing to come online here in a minute. You want to talk with him? Why don't you hang on with me and chat with me?
We'll chat.
I'm going to play, let's see, let's find Big Mr. here. We're going to put him on. Let me find his theme song. I told Randy and Andy I'd play a song for them coming into Big Mister, and here we go. Y'all ready? Y'all better get crazy out there. I'm playing this song for y'all. Why don't y'all just call in during the show? All right. Big Mister, you on the show?
Man, I am getting low.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. What's going on in your neck of the woods? I know we got a big time difference going on, about 6 o'clock over there compared to our 8 o'clock over here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I got some meat cooking and still trying to recover from the weekend. You know, we had that big contest out here this weekend.
Oh, what y'all have out there? I think I know what it was, but maybe some of my listeners don't know.
I've
seen some pictures.
Yeah, the King of the Smoker. It was just an awesome contest. It was right out in Palm Springs.
Was you cooking there, or was you just out there visiting?
I was vending. I was feeding folks so they wouldn't have to go up to the people competing and ask for food. So.
Well, I got Hank Vadden on the line with us. Hank, you want to say hello?
What's going on?
Hey, Hank.
Hey, Neil, what's up?
Man, I'm just hanging.
I understand that.
Day to day.
That's right.
You was in a parade not too long ago, wasn't you? You had the big, what do you call that big rig of yours?
That is Olivia J. Pima.
I can't even get that out.
Well, I'm going to tell you the story behind that. When we drove out to Missouri to pick it up over there at Spice Wine, Jay had a little doll for my daughter, a little pig. That's her favorite little cartoon character named Olivia. So that's where the Olivia came in. And the J because of Jay Curry and Spice Wine. And then the Pima was, every time I'd call him and ask him how's my trailer come along, he'd say, "It's a pain in my ass."
It is different. It is very different. What all you got on that thing? What I want to know.
Well, I got the big smoker in the back. It holds, man, the shelves are really long. I could probably do, I know I can do at least 48 butts in there at one time, maybe more. My wife said, "One big man."
I'm one big man.
Yeah.
She might put you on there and cook you.
There's a picture of me floating around in there, me actually inside cleaning it out. So I do fit in there. it also it has a prep area on the front. It has a 3-compartment sink. It has a refrigerator, and it has a charcoal oven on the front of it too.
Okay. Let me hold on a second. I got a caller on. 501-520-7213.
Hey, Neil, man. What's up, brother? This is Randy Hill from Southern Crock Barbecue. How you doing, brother?
Randy!
I wandered into this chat room. I was sitting in my hot tub in a happy place, and my buddy Andy said, "You got to get on this radio show." And I'm thinking, you know, why? And then he tells me if Dick misses on. I said, "I ain't missing that."
Yeah,
hey, man, I love your rub, and anybody that says they don't like cinnamon can suck my ball.
Okay. The ones that were floating in the hot tub.
We don't got to get personal, big man.
You brought it up.
Hold on.
I want to ask you about that, Neil, man. I mean, you know, as a flavor profile when you're cooking, man, I like cinnamon. I think that's some good stuff. What do you think?
I like it a lot. And the thing that the other thing that people miss in there, they always saying, "What is that other thing I taste?" And there's also a little allspice in there.
Yeah. You ain't put the Chinese fire sauce in there, are you?
No. No. That was a joke. No fire sauce.
Oh, man, do you tell it's your secret ingredient, man? It's like MSG or something, you know?
Nope. No MSG in there.
So when you come over here to Arkansas and cook with us?
As soon as my wife lets me.
That's a pretty good little house.
That sounds like your house. I want to tell you something, though, Cody. You're talking to the original tip master, man. You're talking to a guy that has it going on. I mean, he has done a lot for barbecue, and I think he needs to be acknowledged for that. And
I think he is, too. Go ahead.
And I'm going to tell you, when Andy and I got on Pitmasters, a little backstory for you. You know, we got a common sponsor that sponsors our wood, and it's not Viagra. It's
Mojo Bricks.
Mojo Bricks.
That's right.
I called my buddy up at Mojo Bricks, Fred, and I said, "Man, I need some help. I'm about to be on this damn TV show, and I don't know what these people are going to do to me." And he said, you know, and I saw that Neil was on, and he was nice enough to give me Neil's number, and Neil was very, very helpful for me in that whole process. And I'll tell you, this guy's got a heart as big as California.
Oh, man, I love to help folks. You know, I'm glad you used whatever little bit. I wish I could have told you something to help you win.
Cut the chicken up. I can tell you that.
Yeah, you
can
tell brother to use
the mark. I think half the barbecue folks in America were yelling at the screen, "Cut the chicken!"
I was one of the people. I was like, "What are you thinking, boy? Why are you turning the head of the chicken?"
So I guess I'm going for me, right? $100 garnish would work. You know, I thought it was
$100. I ain't never known Meyer turn down no money.
No, no, you don't.
No whiskey.
Not at all.
Nor whiskey.
Well, let me ask y'all this. I'm pretty sure Andy, you on the line, Andy?
Yep.
I got Randy on the line.
Yes.
We got Neil, Big Mr. Barbecue, and we got Hank Badden on the line. I think we got a couple other, but I cannot remember. I think there's Taylor Farms is on the line, and then we got several others. If you want to call in and join the show, call 347-202-0263. That's 347-202-0263, or find us on the chat room. The show is actually shaping up to be a pretty big rating show. Somebody's
and then we had enough people to have a Pitmasters episode.
That's right. We could. Hey, everybody on the show is on Pitmaster, except for me. But let me ask y'all this. I don't know if I screw up bad as you, though, but we'll find out one of these days. Let me ask Randy, Andy, Hank, and Neil. Neil had a video out this week, or this past week. I was watching on Facebook, and his video was about, when did barbecue become sweet? And I called him up. Well, I sent him a Facebook message, and I said, hey, you want to come on the show? Let's talk about this. He has several other questions on videos that are going on through the web, but this one really caught my attention about the barbecue being sweet. I'll let you talk about that, Neil, and then anybody that wants to talk about it, just jump on it.
Well, my thing about it was, you know, growing up, you know, barbecue wasn't sweet for me. And, you know, I grew up in Texas, and we had, like, maybe a thin sauce. It might have had some drippings in it. It was, you know, tomato-based, but it was really thin. It was spicy, savory, and you just don't see a lot of that anymore. And I can understand it. I mean, I know why it happens in competition. You know, sweet will hold up better than savory when it gets cold, and we end up turning into food that gets cold. So by the time it gets to judges, you know, the sweet will still be there. And it's something that they can recognize and you don't offend anybody with. But, you know, when you go to your local barbecue place, and now when folks are cooking at home, everybody is, you know, pouring honey and agave and all this stuff and making sweet barbecue. And I don't like it personally. You know, the stuff I cook for competitions, I don't particularly care for. It's not what I serve when I serve people. I was just wondering, what was it made everybody start cooking sweet? Is it just what they saw on Pitmasters or something like that? Or was it just high fructose corn syrup people taking over the world? I don't know.
What's your take on that, Randy?
You know, I think Neil hit on a pretty good point. You know, one of the things about it is...
Hold on. Let's figure out who this is. Who's making all the noise? I'm muting each one of y'all at a time. Who is it, Andy?
Andy's watching porn.
I don't know if it's Andy or not. Let's see. It might be Andy.
Probably Andy. Yeah, he watches some kind of monkey porn, kind of weird stuff. Y'all don't need to hear that.
All right, get on the soft subject. When did it become sweet? How about that? Why don't you hit on that for a minute?
My opinion about when it became sweet was when they took the KCBS to be the standard, because you're looking at a region where it's sweet, you know. And Neil hit a good point. I mean, where I eat at back here at Hot Springs, our barbecue's not that sweet. We've got a couple places that are like that, but when sweet's not offensive, you know, and not everybody can, their taste buds can't handle all the spice. So some people, you know, when they get a little something spicy, it's off-putting to them. So I think when KCBS kind of became the standard, then the sweet sauces kind of took over. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say.
What about you, Hank? Hank's had plenty and plenty of years of experience cooking in the barbecue world. He is one of the kings of the barbecue world. Hank, won't you talk to us about this and let us kind of give us some info on that?
Flattery will get you nowhere. Unless you're married.
Unless you're married.
You know, I'm kind of like Randy. The barbecue thing is really regional, and I'm not saying, but we've cooked MBN, KCBS, and a lot of the networks. And to me, it's gotten more of, it's not so much about the damn barbecue anymore. You got to outdo the other guy's damn injection or the sauce flavor. So you're completely losing the flavor profile of the pork. And I agree, you got to enhance it.
but it's become more of a damn salt and injection contest than anything.
I'm with Hank.
Yeah, I'm with him too. I mean, you know, I get the injections and all that kind of stuff, and I think, like I say, that's why I'm kind of on this IBCA thing of late, because you're using local people. They're not really being kind of told a way to judge, and it's not a criticism of KCBS. I think those guys do a great job, but I think we got to branch out a little bit. If you guys, you know, want to try something a little different, you know, just try the late IBCA event. See how you do with it.
And I intend to try. I sent you that message, Randy, to get the whole scoop on the IBCA thing. And I'm more about the whole enhancement of the barbecue. But I'm like you were saying, you know, not slamming on anybody, KCBS, NBN, or, you know, back then it was MIM. I remember 15, 20 years ago, or 15 at least, when if you had a good smoked flavored piece of meat with some good flavor, you could show out. But and then all of a sudden it just went completely opposite. You know, sweet is what was winning. And if you're going to do it, make money at it, or, you know, try to make money at it, you better go with what's winning. So you got to cook, like Neil said, you may not cook what you like. You know, you may not prefer it, but you got to cook what wins.
Hey,
and
that's kind of, on the first
and that's kind of sad to get away from, you know.
Well, you hit on the first rule of barbecue, and I think Neil can attest to this. You don't cook what you like, you cook what the judges like. What do you think
exactly.
about it, Neil?
If you want to win. And that's hard because guys like us who do this type of cooking, we all have egos.
Oh, absolutely.
What? What did you say, ego?
Great.
What's an ego?
Oh, yeah, right. You know, we all have them. And you think what you cook is great, and then you have to say, well, you know what? The people that are winning are doing this. If I want to win, I need to do this too. And you have to take your ego out of it. Because you're
yeah,
not going to...
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah,
it's
a game. You got to play the game.
Exactly.
Right.
Well,
I think it's
what... Go ahead, Randy. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I want to say this. I've been privileged to cook with some really good cooks. You know, I mean, Danielle allowed us to cook with her, as did, you know, Rob. And the thing, they have some technique that is unique to the barbecue world that needs to be left that way. And I admire them for it because those are some of the things they're doing that's getting them ahead in the game. I mean, their flavor profiles are all cool and all that, but they got some really cool technique that's out there. And I think sometimes that gets a little bit overlooked, you know, when you're trying to do this game.
Or turn in a half a chicken in Pitmasters.
I'm never gonna let
you live that down. I'm never gonna let you live it down.
But
you know, that's a good point that you just brought up, is that the whole technique thing, when you turned in that half a chicken on the show, it was about technique. But they don't score on technique. And that's one of the biggest things that, you know, I don't know about the whole competition barbecue thing. I don't know if it's more about the barbecue anymore, if it's about the technique or how you get the taste, how you get the flavor, how you cook your meat, or is it just about sauce anymore? Is it just about having the number one sauce in the company, in the country? Is it just about having Blues Hog? I don't know what it is anymore about the barbecue world. I don't know if it's about the meat. I don't know if it's about the taste. Because the only thing I'm seeing right now is it's all about the sauce. And that's pretty much boils down to who's the king of the block by what sauce they use, not by how well they cook the meat. I can cook anything, and it can be junk, and put sauce on it and make it taste good. I want to know y'all's opinion on that because it just frustrates me more than anything to lose contests over sauce. I wish somebody would have a contest that didn't have any sauce, just a, you know, straight up plain Jane meat contest. And, you know, if anybody's out there listening, y'all want to have a big $50,000 contest, let's do it. That's all I can say. But you know,
you sound like a frustrated married man.
We talking to my wife downstairs yelling, "You ain't no sauce."
But, I mean, what is y'all's take on that?
I would, you know, I don't serve my meat with sauce like here. You know, when I'm out cooking for folks, my sauce is always on the side, and I tell folks, I say, I want you to taste my meat. I want you to know that I'm not hiding anything with sauce. I want you to taste this meat and know that this is good meat before you put. And if they've never been there before, I will make them stand there and taste it before they walk away, just to make sure that they get some without the sauce on it, because I believe in my meat. But unfortunately, that doesn't translate into competition. They want some sauce.
Let me ask you, Hank.
Hank, how over the years, since you've been into the barbecue competitive world, how has things really changed in the barbecue world with the sauce, the meat, the cooking, and how things are really judged? How much has really changed in the barbecue world?
You know, the concept of the cooking's not changed, but the whole damn flavor profile, it changes from year to year, seems like. You know, it's like I said, years ago you could go out with one thing and next year you wouldn't hit on shit. But if you're going to do it and be competitive, you got to go with the flow. Personally, and then you have this conception, well, it's not barbecue, we don't have a damn sauce on it. Well, I don't agree with that shit either. You know, but these judges, and this is strictly my opinion, they're like assholes, everybody's got one. They go to the judging school, and they tell them this is what's got to happen, and this is how you judge it, this is what it's supposed to taste like. And then they have this damn conception when they get to the contest, well, it didn't taste like that shit we ate at the school, so this shit ain't no good. But then you got to look at the side of your deal with personal preference, and you can't please everybody. And then you got those damn judges sit there with that pencil and think they're God, and they're like, well, this shit ain't as good as mine, so let me give him this score. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of different things that's changed over the years, but, you know, it's not like it used to be. No, I don't think. But, you know, you're going to play the game, you got to play it by their rules.
Yeah. I'm going to go get me some McDonald's barbecue sauce.
Hey, don't think
everybody loves McRibs. Everybody loves McRibs.
I've seen damn Casey Masterpiece win a damn contest, and that's all it was.
Yeah.
But as far as
that sauce goes, you know.
One of the things you got to ask yourself, though, I mean, guys like me, you know, why do you enter a contest? You know, and I enter a contest because I like to cook. I'd like to win, you know, but I learn something every time. And there's been times when I've won my stuff. I thought some of my stuff was bad, and I won, and I was like, up yours. But then there's times when I thought I had some good stuff and it lost, you know. But the bottom line is I do it for the experience, you know, and I hear exactly what you guys are saying. It drives you crazy trying to figure out these damn judges. I'm a Sun Tzu guy, and the judges are the damn enemy. And you better know
that's
your
right.
enemy.
Sun Tzu.
Yeah. Sun Tzu. Hey, is Andy on the line tonight?
Yeah, he's online. I had him on mute. Hold on. He was the one making all the noise. Hold on. Andy, you back on, Andy.
Okay.
Andy, you back on.
All right. Can you hear me?
He's coming out the penalty box.
Yeah.
I have my headphones in. I'm making noise. I think you put them back in. Hang on, I can't hear y'all.
I can't understand a word you're saying, son.
He watches this weird pornography from, you know, China.
Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Can you hear me now?
It sounds like you're in a tunnel.
Yeah.
I'm telling this guy. I know how the boy
I'm
rolls.
In the tunnel. I am in the tunnel. I see the light. All right. Can you hear me now?
We're gonna mute him.
I'm sorry, man. I can't take that boy anywhere. So, Neil, what do you think about that? Why do you enter a barbecue contest?
Who, me?
Yeah, a lot of times, I mean, I like to compete. I've always liked to compete, and like folks say, it's not a whole lot of things that old fat folks like us can do and still be competitive, so we barbecue. But more than that, I really enjoy the camaraderie, being there with all the folks. You know, so a lot of times I enjoy Friday night more than I do Saturday, you know, because we hang out, we eat and we drink, we tell a bunch of lies, and you know, I enjoy that. You know, otherwise I'm cooking barbecue all the time, so. It's not like, oh, well, I get to go cook barbecue. You know, I do that all the time. But I like being there, and I like competing, and I like the folks. You know, I don't get to cook what I like. I have to cook what I need to cook to win. And so that's not the biggest thrill of it. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Walking is nice.
But you know what, though, Neil? You know, the funny thing about it, when you're cooking, do you eat any of it?
No.
No. One bite.
So it don't matter whether you like it or not, man.
Yep. All I got to do is feed the judges. But what I do, a lot of the competitions out here in California, we have people's choice along with the competition where we actually feed the public. So, you know, what will happen is they'll sell tickets, you know, for $2 or $3, and people come around with the tickets and they can sample from different teams. So we do 2-ounce, you know, little 2-ounce samples. So, and at the end, you know, half of it will go to a charity and the other half goes back to the team. So you might get a dollar for each ticket that you take. And that way everybody goes home with some money in their pocket. Plus you get to interact with the public, which is always cool for me. And then, you know, you never know. I might get, you know, a catering gig from that. You know, just because somebody got a chance to taste my food wouldn't necessarily. And what I serve at PC is not what I turn in. Quiet as it's kept, my competition stuff never goes out to PC. I cook what I normally cook during the week. And folks go, oh, your stuff is great. Well, yeah, you're not eating that competition crap.
Let me ask you this. So you don't actually cook the same thing you serve at a contest?
No.
Okay.
No, I'll
and, you know, that clears it up for a lot of people that don't usually cook, because I didn't know that. When I got to the barbecue world, I had no idea. I'm cooking the same thing I'm cooking. It tastes wonderful. It's great. It does not win at a contest. If I cook a turd, it will win. I promise you. I don't know why that is, but some of the worst stuff I've ever cooked has won. And some of the best stuff, I'm like Andy, and some of the best stuff, I go, hey, we're in the money today. Hey, we're in last place. You know, what happened there? But
yeah, I have a friend that comes to Sylvie, who she was on Pitmasters with me. We used to be on the same team, and now she has her own team. But her husband always comes to the competition with us. And I'll always have him come over and taste my food. And if he tasted and said, this isn't that good, I know I got a shot. If he takes and say, oh, man, I really like this, I know I'm screwed. So, yeah, if the stuff that tastes good never does well at the contest. The stuff that I serve to the public never does well at the contest. I have to cook something completely different.
I found that over the past year that we have been doing competitions. It just don't work. It don't matter how good it is. It's just not what they're looking for. Let me ask you, Hank, what do you think, Hank? What are you going to competitions for, and what's your persona on that question that I just threw out there?
Well, first of all, I agree with what Neil said and everybody else. I have won with my worst shit and lost, you know, lost with my best shit that I thought was the best. There's two different, you know, and in the restaurant business, you've got restaurant barbecue, and then you've got comp barbecue. Now, we do a lot of the same things, and the cook process is the same at the restaurant. But Joe Public eating barbecue, if you serve him a rack of ribs and he can't just make the bone fall off, they don't think they're tender enough. Same way with the pork or be it the brisket, the tenderer the better, you know, and all that. But we do some of the same things. We don't get into the glazing like we do, you know, with the ribs or the shoulders or the hog or any of that shit. But people wouldn't, you know, if you told them what it costs, they'd eat some of that damn comp barbecue. They'd freak out if you told them that, so you couldn't do that. But I do it for two reasons. I enjoy the competition of it, and I like money. And that's the biggest reasons I do it.
Number one reason right there, the money.
You know, somebody tells me they do it for the love of it, they hadn't won a contest yet.
Yeah. I do that PC stuff, and I have people that'll come out and they'll swear that the stuff I serve them at the contest is so much better than what I serve I had a guy, he actually wrote a Yelp review. And, well, the food he served at the competition had so much more love than what he serves normally. Same damn thing. Same meat. So half the time, folks don't even know what they're talking about. Look, here, just take this, eat it, enjoy it.
You can take it to them and they can complain, go back to the back, take them the same damn thing, and they'll think it's great.
Yep. Exactly.
My problem is, if I got as many complaints about damn coleslaw, there's so many variations of that shit. People with coleslaw.
I don't serve coleslaw, so I had to listen to it. And you're exactly right. If you got it, they don't want it. And if you do have it, they want it. And if it's certain brand, they don't want that. Or if it's vinegar, they don't want that. If it's mustard, they don't want that. If it's mayonnaise, they don't want that. It's just always something. That's why I do not even deal with coleslaw for some reason. I don't know what it is. It's been a headache for me. I serve potato salad and beans.
We have a pineapple coleslaw that we make. and it's the simplest thing in the world. It's the shredded cabbage with the little carrots in it, a can of crushed pineapple, a little apple cider vinegar, salt and pepper, and brown sugar. And that's it. We mix it up and serve it to them. It goes great on the pulled pork sandwiches because the vinegar matches up, and there's no mayonnaise. People love it. They swear by it. It takes all of 5 minutes to make.
Neil, you've got to have some mayonnaise. You got to have some mayonnaise, man.
No, I ain't got no mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Tell him, Randy, here in the South, if you ain't got some mayonnaise in that shit, it ain't coleslaw.
That's right. I got to have my mayonnaise. Okay. I got to have it. Got to have it.
How about I call it pineapple cabbage salad?
Hey, that works. You get the pineapple and stuff back in Arkansas, they think you're trying to poison you.
What's that?
Well, I mean, who put a pineapple on that thing? You know, the one thing, you know, that I like about a barbecue competition is the fact that you can do this all the time and it never turns out the same way. I mean, that's what kills you. There's so many variables. You can't ever, and when you nail it, it's like a zen moment in your life. You got like a big barbecue boner, and I'm just speaking for Andy right now.
Because he can't talk.
I've seen it. I try to look away from it. It's like, look at this sun, you know. But you know, when it happens, it happens. But it's like the Mayan calendar. But anyway, you know, when we do it, you guys have cooked these contests where you've nailed it, and you take that home, and it's awesome. I mean, what do y'all think?
I'm still rolling off the barbecue boner.
Oh, like
a lot of phrases, Randy, but that's a good one.
Uh-huh.
I've never had a barbecue boner before. I got a pill for that.
My wife said we get a T-shirt.
Is the pill legal, though?
We going to put that on a T-shirt. Come to Big Mister's and get a barbecue boner.
Hey, you can turn that off that shit.
What'd you say, Hank? Hank, what'd you say?
That's a moneymaker right there.
somebody will be marketing that tomorrow.
You'll see that shit on a shirt.
Yes, we're going to print up some T-shirts. Baby, call a T-shirt place now.
Barbecue boner. It ain't trademarked or nothing, but brought to you by Mojo Bricks and other assorted sponsors.
We'll take that. Since there's two Mojo Bricks sponsored people on the show tonight, Neil Big Mr. Strato and Randy Hill from Southern Kunk Spanish Fly Barbecue Boner Barbecue Team. You got too many names. I can't keep up with them. That'll be his next contest name, I promise. Which I did see the Spanish flag.
I'll tell you what you can look for. A barbecue thing coming out called the Barbecue Boners.
Yeah. Look for it.
Yep. We're always up for
barbecue. See, when I come down there, I'll try and cook.
I had a great comment, but I'm not going to say it over there. Just think about it, Andy. The Barbecue Boner Team. Just think about it. I know you can come up with something for that. Anyway, it's going through my mind, but I ain't gonna blur it out over the year over there.
There's a website for that.
Yeah. most of them require you to be 18.
I'm Googling right now, www.barbecueboner.com.
Okay. Now we're gonna all get banned from cooking damn contests because we're perverted.
Yeah.
Probably. We're on national radio, but we don't have any FFA or whatever the restrictions are, so we don't have none of those. So whoever's listening, the show is building momentum. I've been looking at the ratings all night, and we had some pretty big ratings going on tonight. So Lulu's Soul Smoking Radio Show might hold the number one spot again this week. So we'll have to find out here a little bit later on after everything goes off. But it's been a pretty good night tonight. I don't know. Any of you guys out there got anything y'all want to talk about? Hank, you got anything going on down your area you want to talk about? Anything you want to bring up?
It's kind of quiet down here right now. Waiting the next season. We're going to start off, and Cotton Patch is going to hit the road a little bit next year. We hadn't cooked probably in 3 years since I opened up the restaurant hard like we used to, but we're going to get back out there next year, and we're going to see if we can rattle a few chains.
What's going to be your main area field you're going to be cooking in? You're going to be cooking some NBN, KCBS, IBCA?
you know, they call us, you know, when you start cooking different networks, and a good friend of mine told me a long time ago when we got into doing this, and he said, to be a real cook and be accepted and, you know, and all that is being a true cook, you need to be able to cook different networks and be competitive. But when you cook different networks, they tend to sort of call you a barbecue whore or other things like that, you know. But we're going to cook some MBNs. We're going to cook a lot more KCBS. And I think our first cook is in Lexington, North Carolina. A friend of mine over there got Rocky Top Smokies has called me out to the Carolinas, and we're going to go over there and see how that plays out. But just waiting for next year. Basically, I got to deal with hunting season, and I'm going to do that, and then we're going to start cooking.
What do you think is going to be your first contest coming out?
My first one?
Yep.
I'm just going to have to look on the schedule and see what's happening, and I think we'll start probably February, somewhere around there, and I'm probably trying to hit the first one that's open.
All right. That's Hank Vadden. Stay on line with us. I wish.
Baden.
I'm North Southern. I'm Baden.
Yeah. Cotton Patch Cooking Crew. Baden.
Hank's number one barbecue. How about that?
That's right. That'll work.
We'll just go with that. Hank's number one barbecue. You can
work.
Find him on his website, but it don't work. Sorry.
But it will.
I couldn't help.
Not funny. Website will be up in less than 2 weeks.
I couldn't help. That's kind of like Randy's deal with the half chicken. I know y'all find something to hit on me about, so it'll be okay. But
well, at least we didn't have to talk about no goddamn tri-tip.
Or no.
Why not? I cooked 50 pounds of it today.
You know, Neil, I should have called you before we went and done that damn pit master of that damn tri-tip.
I should have told you what to do with it.
Bye.
That shit ain't nothing but glorified steaks.
That's all it is.
Hey, you got two pit masters on here, man. You guys gonna be watching the show?
You got three. There's three pit masters on the show: Hank Vadden, Neil Big Mr. Strada, and Randy Hill.
And
there's
all of
three
them
of,
lost.
And all y'all lost.
That's
it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I keep watching that damn show to see if I can win the next time, and I never do. It sucks.
That shit sucks too. I've watched it at least three damn times, and I haven't won yet.
Which Hank? What series was you on, Hank?
I was on the first damn season 3, first episode in my hometown. Now I'm not 40 damn miles from my house. And they're going to throw some goddamn tri-tip at me like I know what the hell I'm doing with that.
I'm hoping
for some shoulders or some ribs. And, you know, Mary knows I cook a hog. That's what I'm known for. And I get a goddamn piece of tri-tip and brisket.
Hey, Hank, I thought a tri-tip was a woman with three titties.
That's exactly, you know. And I didn't know that shit was a cut of meat. I'm like,
what the hell
tri-tip was. And then, of course, you know, I said a real ugly word right there on TV.
Gone straight to hell,
hadn't it? And then they tell me I need to, say little doilies and dropping the F-bomb instead of that. I said to say little doilies. You know, you're playing for 50 grand and you're going to give me some fucking tri-tip?
I tell you, Hank, everybody, you guys have all been on the show, right? And they've all kind of eliminated a lot of the stuff you said, you know. And the best thing I think I said for the show was they asked me, man, if you guys win $50,000, what are you going to do? I said, well, I think Andy's going to spend it all on, like, strippers and blow and go to Mexico.
I'm all in.
Somehow they didn't make it?
They cut that. I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, they cut all that. You ought to see the bloopers of it. That, to me, is a lot more funnier than the show.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
There's a lot of stuff that got cut out of my head, too.
Hey,
like,
hold on a minute.
Oh, man, Andy's been doing it.
Oh, that shit ain't
coming.
A beautiful day in the neighborhood.
That shit is not even
coming. Hey, calm y'all down a little bit. Y'all get a little rowdy.
That'll absolutely kill a barbecue boner.
Yeah. And nobody knows what he's doing but me.
We'll keep
Andy
it that way.
A lot more of the terrorist.
Hey, tell me I have to be nicer to people and stop talking
to
okay.
So ugly. Okay, well, won't you go ahead and tell them about that story? Yeah, we got Hank Baden on. We got Neil Big Mr. Barbecue, Big Mr. Strada, and then we got Randy Hill, All Pit Masters. Anybody want to say anything on that? All of us been on Pit Masters. Hank was on season 3. Randy, I think you was on, what was you on, season 3?
Trace.
Season 3.
Yeah, and then Neil, you was on 3 too, right?
No, I was on 2.
Neil was on 2.
He was on 2. Neil was on 2. I can't keep up with them. They got so many of them. It's like watching soap operas over and over. You can't keep up with it. But anyway.
Well, Eva kicked both me and Neil's ass, so we're in that club.
Yeah. I'm still pissed off about it. Yeah, one of the things they cut out when I was on the show is they asked me what I thought about Art Smith because he kept saying my food didn't have any flavor. I said, well, I don't know what he's been dragging across his tongue.
Hey, let me stop Andy and Randy for even commenting on that. Don't even go there. We're going to keep that one on a steady road. Not a curved road, but we're going to keep it on the steady road. Go ahead, Neil.
Notice how Neil said how he dragged.
I've seen that. I heard that part.
Somehow, for some reason, that didn't make the show.
That's going to be my handle from here on out.
Which one? You got too many handles as it is.
No, I'm talking about what Neil said, man. That's pretty damn funny.
You know, he was looking pretty good with your ratings, but now they're beginning to plummet.
I don't know. Let's check him again. They might have spiked them to the roof. Let's check and see what's going on. Hold on. The archives will definitely spike to the roof after I tell everybody what's going on.
I'm like to hear what Hank has to say, man.
About what? No, you really don't want to hear what Hank has to say. They've already told me
what did they cut out of the show that you want on there?
Well, they say I have to be nicer and I can't talk so ugly. So I'm trying to reform myself.
Oh, ratings are huge right now. We are sitting in the number one rating spot right now. They just spiked hugely over whatever just happened. I don't know what happened because I just checked them all ago. And then
it
just plummeted to the top.
Across his tongue.
I don't know what happened. Yeah, I guess whatever you dragged across your tongue, it just spiked the ratings. Because they're big.
He'll be getting a letter from an attorney for that shit.
I'm guessing it ain't a pork butt.
All right.
Well, not pork.
Hey, Neil, is that your wife in the background laughing?
Yeah, that's her down there.
Yeah, she's about to be
good. She's down there cracking up.
He's going to be playing it. They're going to be listening to this all night long.
There was more good shit cut out of the show, and I know in every episode, than there was on the damn show.
Well, on that show, you got to look at their audience. You know, it can't be too, I guess, edgy or whatever, you know, but there was some.
Let them go to a barbecue contest.
The barbecue contest is. Barbecue contest is usually NC-17 around us.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Andy takes the shirt off, then it goes straight to X.
Oh, my God.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left. It's going to be live. Just keep talking. We'll keep rolling. They can listen to it in the archives. So if you're listening now, you're going to have to go back into the archives and see what Hank's got to say, Neil, Big Mr. Strada, and Randy Hill's got to say on the show as long as it lasts. We're just going to keep talking and going about it. So when we hit zero, you'll just have to go back in the archives and listen about what we're talking about. So anyway, just keep on rolling, guys. Whatever you were saying, Randy.
I'm just saying half the stuff we do at a barbecue contest is not fit for man, woman, or beast to see. I don't know about you, Neil.
You know, most of the time it's okay. But when it gets to be those late night hours and the adult beverages are flowing,
adult beverages?
You might want to have the children sleeping.
Neil, do you mean to, do we drink at barbecue contest?
No,
now,
just a small amount.
All I got to say is a man got to pee when a man got to pee.
That's what I'm saying.
That's about the only thing. Hey, when it gets about 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't even pay no attention no more. It's just, it ain't no porta potties no more, I can tell you that much.
Just going to stand off
man,
and try and piss.
That's way more than I need to know about you.
I just want to say one thing for Cody, because you're about to wrap, brother, but I just really appreciate you letting me and Neil and Hank come on your show tonight. There's a reason you're ranked number one, because you know how to make a good show, and I appreciate
right.
that, and you keep it going, brother.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, my man. Hey, Neil, you want to add anything to the show?
Quick thing, if anybody can still hear it, they can get my rubs at Barbecue Pro Shop, Barbecue Junction, and Big Papa Smokers.
Big Papa Smokers. What else? You're still on the air. You're still recording. It is not live. I know you got a couple of sponsors. You want to talk about them?
Well, everybody knows about the Mojo Bricks. Love them. Use them all the time, especially like the cherry ones. My other one is Farmer John. They provide my meat when I do a lot of competitions. They're a big pork producer out here. And love those guys. They provide me with some St. Louis cut ribs, and their red hot links are awesome. People love those.
Oh, you like
they're
the
awesome.
Red hot links? I can't eat them, man. I just don't like them. I just can't eat them. I don't know what it is. I just can't eat them.
Oh, I love them.
Might be different ones, though. But there's a guy that cooks them, and I just can't handle them. I don't know what it is. They're a little bit too hot for me. But.
Oh, yeah. Well, these are hot, and folks ask me, well, are these links hot? I say yes. I said, okay,
yes,
give me one. And then you say, this is so hot. You just asked me what the hot I told you.
Yeah, it's called a hot link.
Yeah, it's literally hot links. But they miss that. But then I get the same people that walk up and they'll look at my menu, and they'll look at the sign, they'll look at the menu, and they'll look at the sign, and they'll look again. They'll stand there for about 10 minutes going back and forth, and I'll say, well, what do y'all serve, sushi? You looked at my menu for 10 minutes, going to ask me, what do I serve? And big old sign that says Big Mr.'s Barbecue.
Yeah, well, they go, you got this today? Is it on the menu? I didn't see it. We ain't got it.
There you go. Get that all the time.
Well I'm a family practice doctor. If I put hot links up in front of my office, I'll get her arrested.
Oh, yes, you will. You probably see enough of those in there today anyway.
I gotta wrap it up too because I got the boss calling. I want to thank Mojo Bricks again. Just like Neil was saying, man, that stuff is good. I mean, it keeps you from over smoking your meat, and that's the number one mistake I think a rookie team makes is they tend to over smoke their meat, and it tastes like creosote ass. You know, and
let me say this about Mojo Bricks. One thing, you know, we've been using Mojo Bricks. But the one thing I like about them, even I use them in my pellet cookers, but I like about them, it's a pure smoke. It's a good, clean smoke. It's not a dirty smoke. It's a very
kinda
clean
like marijuana?
Smoke. Yeah, kind of like that.
Oh,
okay.
I just think I'm trying to decide if I want to name my next team Dirty Smoke or Barbecue Boner. I like the boat.
I think you can go with Barbecue Boner. I'm about to buy the domain name on.
He's about to buy the domain. That's his new website name. What was the other one you said, Neil? What was the other one you said? What was the other one? Dragged across the tongue?
Yeah, dragged across the tongue. I don't know what you drug across your tongue.
Right, there you go, Randy. There you go. Trademark it.
Well, guys, I've really enjoyed it with you guys today. And, Hank, man, it's good talking to you. You need to give me a call, sometime after the show or tomorrow, and we'd love to have you over at Hot Springs, bub.
Well, I do, man. I'm actually hoping to come to you. You're coming to Tupelo, right?
We're going to try to come to Tupelo and then hook on around to Hammond. So we're trying to make that little loop.
Baby.
But, I'd love to have you. Love to have
can
any
I go to Arkansas?
Hey, Randy.
Come to Arkansas. Yeah.
Okay. Won't you talk about your contest real quick, give them some information on that. So that way they can have all that information.
See that, man. Andy and I, we decided there wasn't nothing going on in January, and we were wanting something to cook at, so we formed this contest called the Southern Crunk Barbecue Festivus. And basically it's an IVCA contest. It's for cooks by cooks. You know, we're going to have about $2,000 in the pot. We're going to add more teams come. It's an IVCA sanctioned contest. For people out there that want to jump in that have never done one of these things before, this is the perfect contest for you. And by the way, Oaklawn Park will be running the ponies, so if you'll come down and watch the horses run.
Well, they're recording, but it's not playing.
Yep.
Where is it, Randy?
It's in January the 24th. It's the last weekend in January. So,
you
guys,
well, that's a good birthday present.
Oh,
yeah,
look at you.
Come
birthday.
Okay.
Yep. Come on down.
How
and,
are you
going to
be?
I need everybody to buy some ribs. My wife said if I had some money, I can go to Festivus.
All right.
Well, I think hey, Neil, we might be ordering a case, brother.
Okay.
Well, but anyway, I appreciate y'all that let me on tonight. I'm going to have to scoot. Man, you guys did a great job. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, Andy. Tell Andy we love him, too.
Not in that kind of way. Don't get us
that
day.
Yeah, not that kind of way. Barbecue kind of way.
All righty, guys. Y'all have a good one, Bubba.
All right. Take it easy now. All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's see. Big Mister, you want to add anything to that? Let's see.
He's gone.
He is gone. I got Hank on, and I got Cousin Ed on. You want to say anything, Cousin Ed?
Well, we're going to be down there with the OVR folks down there in Mobile, Alabama, come February. But I think it's about the third week in February for the NBBQA National Convention down there. And they're going to do a fundraiser, I think, for OVR. And they had a big meeting last weekend up in Kansas City. I didn't get to make it up there, but they were kind enough to give me a call, and we talked a little bit. But we're going to be down there at the National Convention for that weekend, and going to hold a little fundraiser. I mean, I'm not going to bring Hogzilla, but I might bring the Blue Grill, the one that I kind of take to most of the disasters and stuff. And,
yes, sir.
If anybody's down there and wants to come by and get a little barbecue and donate a little funds for the disaster relief for OBR, Operation Barbecue Relief, and just come by and meet us. You know, we'll be down there with the rest of the guys and love to meet the folks. Anybody wants to swing by.
Well, I appreciate you calling in tonight. I appreciate you helping us out, talking a little bit about barbecue. I don't know. Is this the first time you've been on my show?
I think it is. Yeah, I think so. I listen to Chris. And
right. I know you listen to Chris's show.
Yeah, I haven't dialed into Daryl's show yet. I just got so much going on. I actually do live on a farm. And the reason I couldn't go to Kansas City last week is because, it's breeding season on the cows. So I've got AI on my cows. So I've got a lot going on. I've got a lot of fencing to run, and there's always work here. When we get done cooking barbecue, as far as the fundraisers, it takes time. We clean those grills, and we've got large grills. We got, I'd love to come up there and cook all the St. Louis still if I'd have known about it, but.
Yeah, it was kind of a last minute on my part, too. I didn't know anything about it till just last week, and I just said, there was somebody supposed to be cooking, and they ended up backing out, and they was trying to find some people to cook all this meat, and I said, hey, I can come. So we ended up getting aboard. And, sir?
Yeah, what's it for? What's the occasion?
It's a church up there. They cook a big a meal for, like, less fortunate and homeless people and stuff like that, and it's supposed to be, like, 20,000 people is what they told me. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody putting on the event. I've just talked to kind of a – somebody that was kind of separated from the, outside the event that called me to bring me in. So, supposed to be talking to all them tomorrow and, put everything in, see what happens.
I tell you, cooking large scale like we do, people learn a lot. When I was down in New Orleans with the Hurricane Isaac deal, I met Patrick Banks down there. He's with OBR as well. But in actuality, there was a event the fire department put on down in Fairhope, Alabama, about a few weeks later. And, the process for what we do, we're very quick at it. We can, from the time we take we can take 1,000 butts off a truck, get them off the table, unwrapped, seasoned up, loaded in the grills in about 2.5 hours. And that's rolling along pretty good clip. We even take a break in between the first and second 500. But the process is what, you know, when people see kind of how we do what we do and learn that process, it really helps folks. And being that Patrick was there when they had this thing in Fairhope, which he lives down and around Fairhope as well, he helped out. They asked him if he'd help. Well, you know, he watched how I did it, and he kind of implemented and showed them, you know, how to do this, because they were cooking like 1,200 butts, and they had like 30 grills out there.
Right.
Yeah. All the stuff, and you know, it. I was glad that he was able to use some things that we had saw us do. And actually, I was over in over in Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, cooking that first fundraiser for that group. And he actually asked me to send him a picture of something so they could go by and use it there for their, you know, to put the rub on the stuff. But, you know, I love doing that stuff. I mean, Brian and the guys down in Texas, they do Camp Craig Allen every year. He's just wonderful guys. And yeah, I'd love to come back on your show sometime and talk about, because we're just a different aspect of barbecue, you know. I don't compete. I do compete some, very little, but some. And so I, you know, we took 5th in Memphis in May in the Shoulders 2 years ago, I think when Chris won the Shoulder division that year. And then last year we took 9th. I mean, I can, you know, we can go out and cook with the best of them if that's what the, you know, the occasion is, but the business has just grown so much. It's just hard to do.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes I like to come up here and visit with y'all and drag a grill up here and let's do a fundraiser or something for somebody.
That sounds good. That does sound good. I appreciate you coming on tonight, and I hope you have fun. Our show's a little bit different than some of the other shows. We're a little bit more rowdy, and pretty much they just say whatever they feel. So, you know,
yeah.
But
no,
I hope
problem.
You enjoyed it.
I actually did. Had a great time listening in, and, you know, it's just that's the way barbecue is, you know. It's everybody has a great time with it. And I'm telling you, we all learn every time, no matter whether it's a radio show or a barbecue contest or I come help you or you come help me. I'm telling you, we always learn no matter what we do and wherever we're at. So it's a great show, and appreciate you.
That is correct. And you have to be willing to learn, because a lot of people are just not willing to learn. And, you know, if you'll take that advice, you know, you can put it towards anything. It's kind of like your business. It's kind of like our business. You know, we didn't get to where we was by not listening to people. And, you know, being organized like you're talking about in your business, it makes a big difference. And that's why I told them when we was coming up there, I said, you know, I want to talk to people that's running. I want to talk to see what they got, see how many people they got up there. You know, I'm not bringing a small cooker. I'm bringing a big cooker, but not as big as yours. But it's one of the bigger ones, that, you know, on the market. And, you know, I told them, I said, we're very organized and we're very professional. And when we come, I said, this is just the way things have to be to get things done, because it's a critical element. You only have so much time to cook so much food in such a little time for so many people. And if it's not, everything's not in right and not all of your ducks aren't in order, it's not going to happen and you're going to be looking like an idiot. And that's not what I'm going up there for. So I very well understand what you're saying to a complete point.
Your name's out there. Whether you're following with them or whatever you're doing, but your name's on it. It's on the line. And you, I, me, everybody on this show tonight, everybody's got a reputation, and for their food and for their person that they are. And so whenever you do go, you've got a certain A, personality that you need to uphold, a certain image, and B, your food has to be in there with it. But if you're out there with a bunch of boys drinking beer and flames, you know, billowing out of a grill,
correct?
You know, and you're a part of it. Well, there's a guilt by association, you know.
Correct.
So,
there definitely is. There definitely is.
Right. You're right in setting guidelines and putting in parameters and you know that's sort of what we do. I mean, we've there's only one group that we've ever used their own seasoning. It was a fundraiser we took over, but we cook their stuff, but we never told anybody that that was our stuff because we didn't like it.
Right.
This year was the last year, and I'm like, you know, we've got too much on the line to sit there and put that kind of stuff out. The meat is fine, but you know,
the way we always look at it, every job is going to make you bigger, or
that's
it's
right.
going to break you. One of the two, and
that's
where
right.
pretty much where it falls down to, whether it's going to get you another job or you're not going to get any more jobs. So you know, that's what you have to take into consideration.
Well, you got to, I mean, you know, when you start cooking like what you're doing as far as vending, I call it vending, it's not really vending, but when you're cooking for the public, I should say, and for me, I'm cooking for the public, but it's on a mass scale, you know, I wrote some blogs on barbecuebackyard.com or whatever it's called, and it was kind of relating to, you know, the difference between backyard barbecue and competition barbecue. I put a little link there on the chat line to just one, and it's a big difference. I've watched these guys that compete. They go out there with these injectors, and they cook 70, 80 butts, man, cramping forearms, and they're chewing charcoal, and by tomorrow morning, they're looking rough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they cook 100 butts and they're wore out. And, you know, we go in there and we cook 1,500, 2,000 butts in about a day and a half is about what it takes us. And, you know, we're ready to go home, start cleaning grills. But that's the difference in the process, you know. Plus, I've got old hickories. You know, we smoke them 4 hours and I get in the truck and go to sleep, you know. And it's not quite the best.
That's kind of like us. We got Traegers. I got the big Traeger. We got the big Traeger grill. And, you know, we put it on and we just relax for a little while. We don't even pay attention to it. So,
for me, it's a business. I mean, I walk the stage every weekend, so to speak. But in the same breath, people are expecting winning barbecue week, you know, whenever we book. So, you know, there's not a lot of people standing in the bar and stuff. I got customers, man, I don't even see them till 6 o'clock the next morning, you know, when it's ready to come off. They're secondhand, you know, they've done this so many times. You know, the meat shows up, we get it out, get it rubbed down, get it on, get it smoked. And, you know, I get in the truck and update my Facebook. And I go to sleep, you know. But usually there's one of them. I get on, make sure everyone's good. looking forward to the Super Bowl weekend this year. It's going to be a good one.
I imagine you're going to be very busy.
It's going to be real. We got about 7 or 8 groups that we're cooking for. I think right now it's like 7 groups that we're cooking for on Friday night, Saturday, Super Bowl. And one group does between 1,000 and 1,200 bucks. Just by themselves, and then we got other groups that do, you know, a few hundred a piece, 100 to 350 a piece, you know. So it really adds up. A typical Super Bowl weekend's about 1,500, 1,600, something like that. And man, I love doing it, you know. And like what you first was talking about, it's about thinking, you know. Whenever you do this, whenever you get done, A, you're like a pilot. You debrief after your contest is over, what did we do right, and then you're just thinking about getting your process better and making it more efficient. You know, getting there, getting your meat out, getting it gone, getting it cooked, getting it off, getting it prepped, getting your boxes done, getting it in. So hopefully logging that stage when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, that's go ahead. What'd you say?
Congratulations on a great show tonight, too.
I appreciate it very much. I really do. It looks like we're going to be the back-to-back number one barbecue show on Barbecue Superstars for the past 2 weeks. And we'll see if we can knock off I don't know what her name is. I just call her Paula Deen Jr. She's always right there in the top three on the Food Network, and we'll see if we can knock her off this week.
What's her name? Oh, you don't know her name?
I don't know what her name is. I just call her Paula Deen Jr. Just when I see her face.
Really?
I don't even know what her show is. Something about cooking. Because we're on the Food Network. There's about 210 shows on the Blog Talk Food Network. We took fourth this week. My last week's show took fourth. If you want to listen to that, that was Ernest Cervantes, Robert Pitmaster Sierra. If you're out there listening through the archives, go through. You can check it out at www.lewisbarbecue.com and several other ones there. We got Taylor Farms on. I don't think I really know your name. I just know what Fraz is calling you, Cousin Ed, because I see it on the chat room. But,
my name's Robert Taylor, and everybody calls
Robert
me Ed. Yeah, my middle name's Ed, so everybody that knows me calls me Ed. But I had a friend years ago called me Cousin Ed, and they just, you know, it's kind of like everything else. It's just, we're just all family. And you know, the guys, Moby Art, I said something about it one time, and, you know, he just kind of stuck, so everybody kind of called me Cousin Ed. And, you know, you come around, brother, you're family. That's all I can tell you. So we're all family out there on the barbecue world, and I think I like the name just because it makes folks feel comfortable with you pretty quick, you know what I mean? And I'm a regular Joe just like you and everybody else. These guys can be on TV and all that. You know, I was talking to Tuffy. Actually, my buddy Tim that I cook with, he's real good friends with Myron. And they've been together at the Jack every year. And so when I started cooking with old Timbo, and he was always doing Memphis in May, and I just told him, well, I'll come down there and help you, you know. So I did. And we went to the Clinton thing over with the KCBS barbecue, the smoke on the water deal. We went to that one and over in Little Rock. And
okay.
I was kind of ignorant to it. I was, you know, all I've ever done is fundraising. So I said, well, I'm going to go down there to Myron's class. Tim and Myron's good buddies, and I know Myron. And so I just went down there and visited. Well, and this was about the first year that they had that Pitmaster show, you know. Well, lo and behold, who was there but Tuffy and Harry Sue and everybody. I think Johnny Trigg wasn't there, but everybody from the show was there, you know. So I got to meet all. And I didn't know. I don't even have a TV. I don't have a satellite. I don't have none of that stuff. So, you know. Is nothing to me. They just all a bunch of barbecue guys.
What y'all doing out here? I'm a cooking barbecue.
That's exactly what it was. And, you know, Tuffy and I talk. Well, he's an old jarhead, and so am I. And I go say hi to him and his daddy and just visit for a little bit. He's busy, you know. He's very busy with a lot of people. I try not to tie up his time, but. Well, he's parked over next to Killer Hogs this year at Memphis in May, and I just swung by and said hey and was talking with him. And, you know, I told him about doing I really enjoy doing the disaster relief stuff with OBR. And, I was talking to Tuffy about it. I said, you know, Tuffy, I said, you'll never be blessed beyond doing something like that for somebody. And we were talking, and he said, you know, I'd like to come out there and do that with y'all sometime. And, you know, we were chit-chatting, and I said, well, have you got to cook many competitions this year? And then he started to talk. He started to say something about that show. I said, oh, that's right. You've been doing that stupid Pitmaster show. he stopped what he was saying. He kind of rolled his eyes and goes, yeah, I've been doing that.
Yeah, I thought about bringing him on the show, but I know he's very busy. He's a very busy guy, kind of like Myron. I might have Myron on a little bit later, dealing with his agent. He's real busy. I think not too long ago, I just saw him holding up a OBR bumper sticker, I think, beside his grill with the child.
I think they were actually up at the Royal, and Stan and them were there. I think it was either Stan's kids or one of the guy's kids, that was Tuffy with their children, T took a little Polaroid up there. But, man, as good a guy as you ever want to meet, I think the world of him. You know, when I was up in, I was in Brooklyn, New York, when Sandy, you know, with the cooking for OBR with Sandy, I was at a place called Metro Ministries up there. And one of the guys brought a bunch of stuff over, and on it was a box. Tuffy had donated a bunch of it. He was in Texas cooking I think it was a military deal, USO or something. And he couldn't, you know, he couldn't be up in the area, though that's kind of his home stretch up in that area where some of that storm damage got in there. But I was there, and there was a box in this room, and it had his label on it for his rub. And, you know, it just happened to be the Marine Corps birthday as well. So I took a picture of the label on the rub box, and I sent it to him. I said, you know, I told him, happy birthday, Semper Fi. And he sent me a text back, said, hoorah. But I don't bother him much, but he is really, really, just a really, what you see on that TV show, I've seen a few episodes of it, and he's the real deal. I mean, he is just that guy. I mean, just down to earth and honest, and he's a regular Joe. So, and they all really are. Harry Sue was funny. I mean, the guys were awesome. Even his buddy out there, Notley Q.
Motley Crue Crew?
It's called Notley Q.
Oh, Notley Crue.
Yeah.
Okay, the one that had he's going to kill me. I can't even think of his name. He built a metal sign for him. I can't think of what his name is.
He's out there in California, and they call him the caterer for the stars. He, you know, he does some catering for, like, bands, and I don't know what all he does, but nice guys, you know. I met them all over at Myron's house down there in Eudalia, Georgia, and I had a really good time. And I tell you, man, you know, his Myron's wife, golly, her name's, if I couldn't remember the name, but his daughter, I'm friends with her on Facebook, and this, you know, their family down there is part of it. When you go to their class, he's upgraded his home. You know, it's right there at Myron's house. But they're all there, and this, you know, the uncle cooking the low country bowl and the meet and greet, and everybody's there. It's just a really good time. I had a lot of fun. And
go ahead.
Just said I learned a little bit about the, you know, the barbecue world from. And Tim, like I said, he's known Myron for years. They're very good friends, and they talk, you know, time to time about this and that. Being around Tim has been I kind of see a lot of things that some things Myron's taught him, some things he's done on his own. You know, he's a very, very good cook, and I've been real pleasure and very pleased to be around somebody like that. And it's like I said, the reason Myron likes Tim, because he's no bones about it. You know, may not like what he has to tell you, but he's going to tell you.
Yeah, you know, that's the way I like him. I like him straightforward, you know. We got to meet Myron. We got to meet Craig. We got to meet Harry Sue, you know, at the Jack, and, you know, just down-to-earth guys. Harry Sue was talking about his grill and some other stuff, and, you know, it was just like we was best friends, and Myron was the same way. You know, he knew who I was. I knew who he was, and, you know, it wasn't one of those things where, hey, you know, you're Myron Mixon, blah, blah. You know, it just wasn't one of them things. I think if I was, you know, well-known just like that, or, you know, like a famous celebrity or something, you know, I don't think I'd want that either. Just come up, talk to me like a regular person. I'll talk to you back. You know, you don't have to treat me like, you know, anything better than, you know, really what I am. And, you know, that's the way they treat everybody. It's just, you know, everybody's equal. And, you know, that's the great thing about it.
Well, I mean, I know his team has evolved over the time. And, I mean, I knew Nick, and Nick was his nighttime. I knew the nighttime guys, you know. I'm the night grill watch, you know, it's just me and Tim basically out there, and Randy. We're out there during the night. Tim goes home now from Memphis in May. He'll go home because he lives down in South Haven, but, you know, me and Randy will sit up there with the grill at night, and I add my touch to the team, but it's just me and Tim, basically, and Randy. Randy used to cook with Curly Tail Smokers down here, and they were very successful, Mike Pittman and that group. I've had some good luck of being around some really good folks and some good barbecue cooks as well, and I've been very blessed. I really enjoy the fundraising part of it too. I mean, it's, you know, I kind of joked in that one blog. I said, you know, tomorrow you might. I was kind of speaking to competitors about fundraising. And I said, just remember one thing. Tomorrow you might cook for six or seven people sitting around the table. You know, I'll be cooking for 20,000. You know, to kind of, you know, to give you the just put it in perspective that, you know, I'll cook enough meat for 10,000-15,000 people in a couple of days. You know, and we cook for thousands of butts. You know,
yeah, what you'll do is kind of phenomenal. You know, it's kind of hard to even. I couldn't even fathom it until I saw that one picture y'all posted, and I was like, man, there's a lot of butts. And those tables y'all got, we built some wooden tables. They're about 8 foot long. We got two of them. They're about 4 foot wide. And, you know, when we do big events and stuff, we usually carry those with us, and, you know, we'll do butts and or turkeys or whatever we got going on. It makes a huge difference. And I was like, man, I always look down tables, and they're always filled up. Man, there was a lot of butts. And then I got looking at that picture, I was like, man, we ain't doing nothing compared to what they're doing. I've never seen anybody do that much meat. And, you know, and a lot of people wouldn't believe you if you said it. They wouldn't believe you anyway until they saw it. You know, that's the way most people are. Or even think there was a cooker out there that could even cook that much. But, you know, the pictures do the justice, that's for sure. Let me ask you this. Have y'all heard anything about the grant?
No. That won't be announced till January, from what I understand.
Okay.
But that,
I know y'all had some big numbers in that. I know a lot of voting. I didn't get to really check the rest of them. I kind of checked on y'all every once in a while. I saw what Chris posted up, and, you know, I'd check it out and see where y'all was sitting at. I didn't really pay attention to the rest of them, but I know y'all had some big voting going on.
Yeah, I think we ended up with a little over 2,000 votes, which I was very happy with. I mean, you know, win, lose, or draw, you know, it was nice, and we had some folks that really supported it. You know, they voted every week on it, and, you know, they just really, really supported us through that whole, it was like a month-long voting process, you know, but that was a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know where I stand, where I sit, and it is what it is. Good Lord's gonna be what it's gonna be, and, you know, and the whole thing is we do have a pretty good rub. Tom's got a good sauce, and I'm going to send you sometime when you throw that address up there. But,
okay.
You know, I'm like what I was talking about. I don't care for the cinnamons and corianders and, you know, the allspices and stuff. Yeah, that, people do that. But, you know, I'm cooking for 10,000 people, and I can't afford to get exotic. You know,
correct.
Like when I was talking to Chris the first time, I was kind of talking about this, and he would ask different questions about, you know, hey, well, do you use Mojo Bricks? I said, no, I don't. I got three cords of cherry wood just got delivered, you know, because I got
right.
a fella around the corner, old black,
you know,
man. He comes out and he cuts cherry trees down and he splits them. I mean, I pay him. He gets all the wood locally here around Hardeman County. And, sometimes he comes to the farm and cuts it. Sometimes he gets it back the woods behind his house. But, you know, when I get low, I call him, and he starts bringing 2-3 cords of wood. And, you know, I fill all my old propane tanks here. And, you know, like I said, our process is what we change to make better. You know, people like what we do as far as our rub. It's a good full-bodied rub, and all we use is cherry wood. You know, and we smoke it enough to give it a good smoke a good smoke with a full body rub, but it's nothing crazy. It's nothing overpowering. But, you know, we, you know, like BB Arkansas, the one we're doing this weekend, last year, they were kind of struggling for their very first time. And I think they got about 100, they got a little over 150 buds, which we usually don't travel for that small amount. But Tim went over there. He said, make sure they had to, you know, they had to provide all the volunteers. We'll do it, but, you know, you don't make much on it. But, you know, we just said, get it out there and get it done. And this year, Tim said, all you got to do is get it out there, and then it'll sell itself. So we do it one time, and then this year they call back. Now, this week he texted me and said they're up to 360 already. So they're still selling. So, you know, that's the deal. You know, we grow their fundraising through putting out high-quality product, and that grows my business back. You know what I mean?
And that's what people don't understand when they, you know, and a lot of people can't cook in volume. You know, they can cook on a smaller grill and everything tastes, you know, good. But when you put it in volume, it's a big ball game that, you know, it's from the minor leagues to the major leagues. It's a big, totally different process, big, totally different game changer. And, you know, that's what sets apart, you know, to be able to cook that much of meat and equal it out to where everything tastes just the same. And just like you talking about Mojo Bricks, you know, we use them at competition, but for my everyday use, I don't use them every day. Our rub that we have is a just a general, it's our rub, but it's just a general a blend of spices. It's nothing that you can't go to Sam's and buy. And, you know, when I did this, when I made our seasoning, I didn't have anything. I didn't know anything about barbecue, period. But when I made it, it was everything I could get at the grocery store. So, you know, and we blended that in there. So, you know, it's everything that you can get at Sam's or at your grocery store. And, you know, it's a great rub, but it's just equally between, you know, just a little bit sweet and a little bit hot, but it's all equal. And it coats the meat very well. And that's what people don't understand. When we started out cooking, everything went in a mustard rub because that's all I heard, mustard slider, mustard slider, mustard slider. And you might do that. I don't know. But, you know, when we started that and when I made the seasoning, I cut out the mustard slather because I don't need it anymore because the season I made actually becomes a coating around the meat with butts and ribs. It holds the moisture in. It's like a Loctite deal. I don't know what it is, but it just sucks into the coating of the meat, and it holds all the moisture in so I don't have to have it. And, you know, that makes a huge difference. And, you know, you don't have to – and the people – cooking, they always think, well, I got to do exotic things like you was talking about. You don't have to do that. You know, there's basic recipes on the internet you can get that people are listening to this right now. I mean, you just go to a basic rub recipe. And, you know, when I started out, I took a basic Memphis style rub and made it my own. That's pretty much what I did. You know, I started out with about 4 ingredients and I added up, and I think we got about, 8 ingredients in it. I think, you know, most of it's salt, most of it's, you know, things like that. But,
and that's enough. You know, it's not, I mean, you know, you get into those exotics, and that's where you overpower your meat, and that's where you lose the flavor of the meat. Instead of enhancing, you know, that's where you're talking about sauces and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just overpowering meat, and I think your greatest success lies in, is you know, feeding the masses. And feeding the masses, I mean, you're going for the average. And not everybody's, I mean, everybody's got a different palate. So whatever you do, if you go for the masses, you're going to please a lot of judges. You know what I mean? If you're cooking competition. But
right. And, you know, when you were talking about cherry wood, you just used cherry wood. And that's always been my flavor of choice, has always been cherry wood. It always blends well with my seasoning. It always blends well with my meat. It's always been the superior choice of my domain. I can't always get it. You know, I cook with hickory or I cook with cherry. And that's basically the only two that I use. And I really like the cherry. And everybody was like, what do you use? I use cherry. What's cherry? You know, I mean, they thought I was crazy. But, you know, I just like it. I don't know what it is. It just blends well with the seasoning I have. And, it, you know, it's just perfect, really.
Well, that smell, people ask you, do you ever get tired of it? And I'm telling you, man, there's nothing like that smell. When that cherry wood starts rolling out of that stack, and you got that, seasoning, that garlic and those spices mixed in with that cherry smoke. Man, I don't ever get tired of that smell.
No, it's just, it's a unique smell. It is a unique smell. And that's why, you know, your seasoning must blend very well with the cherry wood, just like ours does. And it's just something about it. You can smell it when it's cooking. You can smell when the juices start running off the meat. You can just smell it through the cooker. There's just a certain smell between the wood, the smoke, and the seasoning on the meat, and then the meat juices. You can just, there's just that one smell that I enjoy every morning when I get up. When I get off here, I'm supposed to go put on meat. And when I get up in the morning and I walk outside, I can always tell something's wrong or something's perfect just by the smell. And that smell you just cannot get anywhere else. I don't know what it is, but.
Well, I know I was in Memphis in May a few years ago, and we were cooking, and I was downwind. We were doing whole hogs, man, and this guy, metal fabricator guy, they had this hog on, and, buddy, you talking about the stench coming out of that grill.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I'm telling you, it was sickening, and we were downwind from it all weekend, and it just made my stomach roll. And I tell you, this day, you know, any year now that I go, every year since, when I'm just out walking around, and that
do you walk, smell the smell?
Yes. When that walk
yep.
comes across your nose, it's like a bad experience when you got drunk the first time on something. You know, you can't ever, you know, just the smell of it sends your stomach in that quandary. You know, it's crazy. That was a stink. That was the nastiest smelling hog or barbecue smell I've ever smelled, and I just can't. Lord, I hope we never get parked next to them again, ever.
Yeah, I know that smell because I usually smell that competition. I go, man, what are they burning over? Wood sticks? They get some of them green leaves off that tree? Man, this smells horrible, and I can't stand it. It about makes me sick. It really does. It really almost makes me sick. I can't hardly stand that smell, and I can always smell it.
Mm-hmm. It was a stench, man, I tell you. Well, look, brother, I know it's getting late for you and you got me to get on, but I really enjoyed your show and enjoyed you letting me be on, and look forward to coming back and being a part of your show sometime.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. We'll see if we can get you back on just by yourself and talk a little bit and see what's been going on. I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, no worries, man. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good night.
That was Taylor Farms I was talking to. We done had Jeff Yoke up talking about the Pro Barbecue book. You can find that at www.lulusbarbecue.com, or you can find it at yokeup.net. You can find that, all the information on there. Also had some Pitmaster series, Pitmasters, that's fixing to debut on December 16th. We have some new ones coming out. We had some of the old guys. We had from season 3, we had Randy Hugh, we had Hank Vaden, and then season 2, we had Big Mr. Barbecue, Neil Big Mr. Estrada, which he was on. I appreciate everybody listening to that. Looks like we're going to set another, might be in the top number one show on Barbecue Superstar. We'll have to see how she feeds out into the Food Network, Blog Talk Network at 210. We come in at 4th place last week and the number one show on Barbecue Superstars. This week is looking good. The numbers are building. If you want to find anything else out, check out bbqsuperstars.com. Plenty of information. Shows all week on Barbecue Superstars. We'd like to thank our sister station for picking us up. You're listening to us live. Well, you're not listening to us live now. You listen to us in archives after the show. Our second live show, which is debuted today. I appreciate them bringing us on. So we'll be hooked up with them for a little while. We'll have to check those ratings, see how those go. But if you don't find anything out, if you want to send me some seasons, you want to send me some rubs, we're doing sauce and rubs review, you can shoot them to me on lulusbarbecue.com or Lulu's Barbecue on Facebook, or you can give me a call at 573-683-0326, and I can relay that information to you, and we'll get that to you so we can get that done. We'll be doing Ritter's. They have several different ones they sent to us. So I appreciate everybody listening out. We're going to exit with this song here. So if you're listening, I appreciate everybody listening to Archives. Thank you.
would all gather round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. They had no